The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Live from Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis, this is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officers. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he needs fun.
Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what? Who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress, our third day of broadcasting live in Indianapolis from the team hotel. Fred's here, Eric's here, Andy's here, Paul's here, Kevin's here. We're all here, and we're going to be here until 2 o'clock taking your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 and your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Guys, another full day of access, both for the Patriots and the Giants. Both teams did it from their team hotel for the second straight day. Practice will be a little later, probably about an hour or so, right?
Yeah, buses for the Patriots are already lined up outside waiting for them to depart, probably in about a half hour or so.
So we will see yesterday on the practice report. Of course, Rob Gronkowski was listed as did not practice. We'll see what happens today. See if he takes part, but he was at the access this morning and, did a little funny for the media, you know, limped out as if he was, you know, had a severe limp, just, you know, a mocking limp, and everyone got a kick out of that.
Just a little bit of news. There were reports that he is going to practice today, so we will see.
There
we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure, but there were reports.
Right.
Where did those reports emanate?
I believe it was Adam Schefter.
Okay.
That reported it, but Bill was asked by Mike Reese, ESPNBoston.com, whether at this point maybe it would make sense to just not practice him, you know, to keep him on the shelf until Sunday. And Bill said, if that's what the medical staff said, yeah, but we'll see.
Adam Schefter also had a tweet this morning that said yesterday's practice, the Patriots actually rehearsed halftime. They took a 30-minute break in the middle of practice and then came back and started practice up again. So every little detail,
just not for the guy who matters most.
Who's that?
Gronkowski.
Why does that matter most?
Well, when we talked about Dwight Freeney and mimicking that injury and getting ready for the game and then the long halftime and he couldn't come back. Now, you probably can't mimic it because you probably can't,
right,
quote-unquote, shoot him up or do everything you would do on Sunday.
Right.
So the guy who might need it most doesn't actually get the experience.
But, there are other players on the team that could benefit it from, you know, despite Andy's negative take on the whole thing.
How is the truth negative?
All I said was they practice, well, except for the guy that matters most. But it did, you know, what about the other guys? You know, there's other people on the team as well, Andy. So, you know, for whatever it was worth, they did it yesterday. Okay?
So, hey, cranky.
I'm cranky.
Fred, does this surprise you?
Yes, you are.
So yesterday, Coughlin says to the media, Ahmad Bradshaw's not practicing. Okay. So we go to Bradshaw and say, hey, Coughlin just said you're not practicing. And he goes, oh, really? That's news to me. I had planned on going out there and doing at least a few plays. So he goes to practice and takes part in a few plays.
Right.
And Coughlin says afterwards, I was surprised to see him out here.
That does surprise
You're the head
me.
Coach of the team.
Yeah, that surprises
you
me.
You tell him whether or not he practices, no?
I mean,
well, maybe, unless it was an injury. Like Bill says with Gronkowski, if the medical staff says to keep him shelved.
So the moral of the story is, for a head coach, you just don't – when Belichick says, you know, we'll see, we'll talk to the medical staff, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe he clearly doesn't know.
It is what it is.
You know, and doesn't want to assume any – you know, one way or the other. Coughlin assumed he wasn't going to, but the medical staff said he could, and so he ended up, you know, looking like he didn't know what he was doing, when in fact he knew no more or less than what Belichick knows before.
Well, my point is either Coughlin didn't speak to the medical staff before making the
at that point
the declarative statement,
right?
So he shouldn't have made the statement.
Correct.
Or he did talk to them and decided, you know what, he shouldn't play, and the guy just shows up and starts playing anyway.
I think it's the form. I think what you said the first time is he hadn't talked to them yet. He probably shouldn't have said anything. Mm-hmm. He probably should have went the Belichick route and just said, you know, we'll see. I'll talk to the medical staff.
Okay, point number two from Giants camp today.
Okay.
What do you make of this? You know, so we know that Umanura didn't show up yesterday for media availability.
Right, fine $20,000.
Fine $20,000. He shows up today, and, you know, he's asked, of course, so what happened yesterday? And he says, well, you know, I was with some family and friends hanging out, and didn't realize that these media sessions were mandatory.
Wait,
what? You played in the Super Bowl 4 years ago, so you've been through this routine before.
Right.
That's one point. And secondly, nobody on the coaching staff told everybody, just reminded all the players these things are mandatory?
Yeah,
you have to show up at a certain time?
Not buying it. Not buying it. Okay.
So you're not buying his excuse?
No. You know, I think that for some other reason.
Plus, yesterday he had a different excuse, saying that he misread the schedule.
He was mixed up.
He made a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I'm with Fred. I don't buy any of it.
Yep. So there was some other reason why he missed yesterday, and he's not telling. But that's whatever. He paid the fine. So anything else, Eric, out of the Giants? Still cocky?
Yeah, a little bit. Talked to Chris Canty about his comments about the parade that he wants New Yorkers to get ready for.
Yep.
He's not backing down from those comments at all. And he says, you know, I said what I said. I believe it, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Right.
He said, you know, we're a confident team. And he said one of the reasons I think he said it was because Tom Brady made some comments about a party next week, referencing what Brady said at the send-off rally. And I don't know if Canty actually even heard the comments.
Right.
Before he made his.
Deion Branch had the closest thing we've heard so far to back talk. When they told Deion Branch about that today, he was like, really? You said that? I don't know what they'd be having a parade for. So that's the closest thing so far that the Patriots have had to answer.
I like that they knew about it. I was with Kyle Arrington when somebody said, did you hear Chris Canty's comments? And he said, what, the ones about the parade? Take that as a yes.
Oh,
then.
They all know. They know.
Mankins addressed it too, and basically said, I'm not surprised. That's the way they are. They're always talking and blah, 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 blah. So there was some back and forth. There was some trash talk back and forth. Will Fork just said, you know, we'll do our talking on Sunday out in the field. But
right.
Andy's right. The fact that that's obviously going to be – when the Patriots win, that's obviously going to be a big thing. Is, you know, Bill will be walking around with, like, a parade route or some utter nonsense, and that'll be the huge thing after the game is, you know, they won because the Giants said, you know, they were going to have a parade.
Well, now you get to, you know, give them their comeuppance.
Oh, sure.
It's just, you know.
Absolutely. They're very cocky, Fred. Giants are very, very cocky.
Sure. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Did you guys learn anything new today? Mostly Andy and Paul, who were in the Patriots pressers. Anything new, or is it just repeating the same old things, answering the same old questions?
I didn't learn anything. I mean, I talked to new people about different things. I've just posted a story on the website. The kicking game, you know, they feel a little more confident, even though they had the fumble. They had the two long returns for Woodhead against the Ravens. They feel like they can be an impact. And overall, Matthew Slater, I said, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be really hard to get up for special teams in the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a lot of energy on special teams. And he said, yeah, if you can't cover a kick in the Super Bowl, you shouldn't be playing the sport, basically. And I also talked to Solder a little bit about his role and, you know, depending on Gronkowski and the multiple tight end sets. And He doesn't know if he'll catch a pass, but he said, I'm going to run my ass off if I do and try to get as far away as possible. But, I mean, I don't think you learn anything at this point. It's all been asked and all been said.
Yep. Ocho Cinco was available today, and, you know, he I can't figure him out. I don't know if he's sad or he's disappointed, but, you know, he's very terse.
Yeah, I think he's been a walking contradiction all season long. I really do, just from his on and off-field behavior, the things he says. In the same interview, the same sentence almost, he says two things.
You know what that means?
He doesn't believe any of
them. You're not really saying what you believe and want to say.
You're kind
of saying what you're thinking and trying to say what you think you should say or what.
He did drop an F-bomb to the media yesterday, though.
Oh, nice.
Is that right, Matt, back at the studio? How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys out there?
Good. What did he have to say?
Somebody asked him if he wanted to be back next year, and he said, you're effing right, I want to be back next year. And then the guy said, you know we have to bleep that, and he said, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, he dropped an S-bomb when I was there.
Really?
About whether he was... Why'd you give me that? That's S-H-I.
No,
sugar, honey, iced tea.
They asked how happy he was in New England, and he was like, not like, oh, bleep happy, but happy. And that's when he compared it to going from Scarlett Johansson to Charlize Theron, which is a little different than when he first got here, and it was like arriving in heaven, and everything was...
Right.
So that's what I mean. He's just kind of trying to say all... Because now he's dealing... I think, actually, that question was from Jeff Hobson of either Bengals.com or the Cincinnati Inquirer, whichever one he's with. But he was, you know, he's answering Bengals questions from Bengals people. I think he's trying to say the right thing to almost everybody involved. And when you do that, you contradict yourself.
Sure. Paul, anything from you?
No, in terms of the news, you know, Andy and I were talking about this. It's really basically boiled down to Gronk and the ankle. And that's why it's interesting that, you know, there's some reports out there that he's going to practice. I talked to him a little bit and asked him if he'd ever dealt with any kind of uncertainty heading into a game before. You know, whether or not he's going to play. And, obviously, you know, there's not a lot. You know, he's only in his second year. He's never missed a game. But he even said, you know, aside of his back injury that he, you know, obviously he was out for that year. He hadn't really dealt with anything like this before where he was, you know, just doing all rehab all week. And hadn't really had a situation where he hadn't practiced heading into the game. So I thought that was a little interesting. I mentioned Mankins before. Talk to Mankins and a little bit to Dante about just the offensive line in general and how much they've gone through. And like Andy says, you know, not that you learned anything, but interesting to hear them talk about sort of the pride they took in keeping it together with the various missing parts. And Dante specifically talked about that Miami game when Light was out and Mankins got hurt. And just really showering Brian Waters with praise. About how, you know, for a veteran guy who's accomplished as much as he has, Freddie, he was saying how sometimes it can go either way. You know the guy can play physically, but will he adapt to a new way of doing things? And he said Brian Waters has been so good in that regard. So I thought that was interesting. He really he talked about that Miami game and saying how desperate it was. You know, you got Marcus Cannon out there 3 months removed from chemotherapy. And, you know, you got Donald Thomas in the mix. Mankins is out. Light's out. You already had gone through four centers at one point. I think Dante was really proud of that group. He said he was, you know, obviously says he's proud of all his offensive lines, you know, over the years and all of his teams. But I think this one in particular is going to be one he remembers fondly.
And sure. one last thing on Gronk this popped out to me is Aaron Hernandez is taking the same approach I am to Gronk. If he's out there, he's a mismatch, meaning – even if they, because he said, I've heard people say now safeties and linebackers can cover him. Yeah, maybe they can run with him, but can they get to 7 feet in the air where his arms are and knock the football down where Brady puts it up high?
Right.
So, you know, there's a difference between him being a little slower and still being able to match up with him. So he's not really worried. He thinks he's playing, and he thinks he creates a mismatch because of the attention he gets and because of the sheer ability. He's bigger than everybody and can catch better than everybody.
I was listening a little to Ivan Fears today, and he was talking about, you got to run the ball. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you're doing out there. You got to be able to run the ball and pretty much run the ball out of any package that you've got out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always have to have that threat. And, you know, it was nice to hear that, you know.
Now let's see if they act on it.
Right.
Yeah, do you think they go into, like, the game plan meetings and Dante's in the back saying, you know, listen, we need to run the ball, and this guy, and like, Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels and, like, Bill Belichick, Ivan, go over in the corner. go play with the toys over there.
Yeah, I think it would be nice. You know, what they've been doing is, obviously, they've been coming out passing in most games, but probably maybe the second or third drive, they've tried to establish the run.
From that day on, so I was going somewhere, I was running.
It'll be interesting to see when they decide, okay, let's see what if we can get going with the run. You know, just out of first or second down, not out of a spread formation, out of a passing down, but legitimately just, okay.
You know, we talked about that
if they
one
try
drive.
That early, or if they
that Bengals drive where it was Woodhead for Green Ellis for Baltimore. 11, Green Ellis right. for 13, and the whole drive was kind of based off the run. He ended it with a 7-yard touchdown run, but that was kind of the biggest chunk of their running game right. in that game.
Yeah, I think it was we worked it out 5 for 38, and he had 10 for 30 in the rest of the game.
Right.
So they've been able to run effectively at times, just not consistently.
All right.
I think you can run on the Giants, though. I think that should be an aspect of their game plan, running at the Giants. They've given up more, even worse in the postseason on the ground. I think you can have a solid aspect of your game plan is running right at them.
And I don't think Tom Brady will mind that. I don't think that he cares about how many times he throws the ball up.
Well, you know the answer there. As long as we win, I don't care
right.
how we get there.
That's
if he's,
right.
If he's 0-for-1 on the day and they win, thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to some emails because, by the way, I know we did get a lot of pre-emails in about, you know, whether or not we're going to do our picks today. We're going to hold off on the picks. We're going to do them on Saturday, which
some of us
makes a lot of sense.
Eric already kind of let his meow out of the bag.
Right. Well, I think it's pretty – we know who's picking the Giants and who's picking the Patriots.
Right, it's obvious. Paul's picking the Giants.
You do.
We're picking the
and Patriots. The rest of the country picked on Wednesday anyway.
So I honest to God, Freddie, I'm not just doing this for effect like Eric does when he saves his pick. I'm just torn. I really don't know yet. I honestly don't know yet.
Well, you're unlike most.
I might do what Andy did last week and pick two you know.
And
dead on? I think either the Patriots or the Giants will win.
You were not dead on.
Well, dead on.
Then you're unlike most of the other analysts because most analysts have already decided that the Giants are going to win.
Which analysts?
All of them.
Which
All
ones?
92% of them.
Let's see.
Names. I want names.
Let's go to some emails. Luke writes in, I'd like to submit an idea on the table in the form of a name suggestion for tight ends Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. I hope in these last few remaining days you can consider and submit the name suggestions of Gorilla Gronk and Aaron the Barbarian.
Simply
the tight end combo of the Beastly Boys. I hope you will consider kicking the tires on the suggestion. My reason for Gorilla Gronk is because of his sheer size, large hands, gorilla-like monster spikes in the end zone, and also because I heard Rob saying he likes being the beast. So I feel Gorilla Gronk is most befitting. Short, it's simple, flows gracefully. I chose Barbarian for its obvious rhythmic flair. Who wrote this, Eric? Aaron's warrior-like appearance.
Is it Tim at Pensacola?
Aaron's warrior-like appearance, fierce and merciless competitiveness against the opponents, and his aggressive playing style to punish defenders or simply drag them into the end zone without mercy for a touchdown. I hope this email reaches you before the Super Bowl, resonates with you, and possibly appeals to the interests of both Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez.
You're about 3 weeks too late, bro. Somebody else had this idea. The stories have been done. It's been on the radio, on television. They like Boston TE Party.
So do I.
Wow, and he gets a bro. Two weeks late.
Bro.
You know, so condescending.
Well. He says hello in a condescending manner. I mean, that's what Eric does.
Screw you in a condescending manner, too.
You're about 2 weeks late, bro. Wow. That's like a John McCain, my friend.
My friend. Yes,
right.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
He was a loser, too.
A younger version.
Screw you, bitch.
You're calling a war hero a loser? You're a punk.
He lost, despite my vote.
Greg in Bridgewater writes in, guys, I bet this won't get read like the prior email, but I have to apologize to Eric. As noted in my prior email below, I am not one of his biggest supporters, but on Wednesday, February 1st show, he had two very good comments that added value to the show.
I don't buy it.
One.
You guys shut up, we got, for Christ's sake.
We got to the Super Bowl without the
participation.
Thank you. Of Ocho and Haynesworth. And two, correcting the listener in a non-judgmental way. Very good, Eric. That he forgot how integral Andre Carter was to the defense and us getting to the Super Bowl. You know he wasn't being a pompous jerk and just a regular guy. I wish he'd be like that more often. It would be better for the show and probably his love life.
Probably not.
What you're doing now is working?
Right. No, you're failing miserably now, so.
That's my point, idiot.
And you're a pompous ass.
Way.
Well, it might if you weren't a pompous ass.
Plus, he just dismissively corrected a caller moments ago or an emailer.
Right.
Bruh.
Right. Actually, Paul
I need to ask a question, though, about the Andre Carter.
Well, I'm not
Carter
done with the email, but that's all right.
When was he I mean, he had 10 sacks. They
Who?
Sucked on defense.
Andre Carter?
Yeah, but he still helped
No.
them. You don't think he
you
helped
don't
the
think
defense?
If he
you can't have it both ways. He can't have been a big help, and the defense can't have gotten that much better over the last month after he went out.
Well,
which is true.
They didn't get better because he's
not playing. Right. Yeah, that's not a cause and effect thing. And really, they've only played better in the playoffs.
You don't
games.
Think that if Andre Carter was healthy, you'd be... You'd say, oh, that's even better for the defense.
Now, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the time, I said, they're the worst defense I've ever seen.
No, but Spikes and Chung.
I'm
still going on the email here. Actually, the emailer says, Paul was over the top angry on Wednesday's show.
It's true.
What's it, that time of the month, Paul? We're in the Super Bowl, man. Get a little happier, won't you? And I want to truly meet you guys in person one of these days and willing to take your punches in the face for some of the comments, but have to call it as I see it. I truly would be pissed and disappointed if PFW show got canceled and didn't have your Patriots insight, pomposity, bickering, and football knowledge to listen three times a week. And this is not in a gay sense, but I really love you guys. Go Pats, win or lose. I think we win our fourth. This has been a great season and a redemption that is truly an unbelievably successful organization and football team. We are all very lucky to have them. I've been rooting for them to win, lose, or draw since Sam Bam, Jim Plunkett, and Randy Vataha. So I've ridden this roller coaster quite a few times. And that's Greg from Bridgewater.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Thanks, Greg. Good stuff from Greg.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
No screen talk, no disrespect talk, and I will not be angry today.
Why? Why won't you be angry?
Can you really make that promise 20 minutes into the show that you got an hour 40?
I am making the vow to you now, my compadres. No screen talk, no disrespect talk, and I will not get angry.
Gene in Daytona.
Fred can't do it. He won't hold up his end of the bargain.
There's the qualifier, Andy. No screen talk.
And I said no screen talk, no disrespect talk.
Yeah.
Gene in Daytona writes, and why is everyone upset about the national media disrespecting the Patriots? I think it's great. I can see. I can see the Patriots players going.
I'm okay.
I can see the Patriots players going back to their hotel rooms at night, turning on the TV and hearing everyone say the Patriots are no good, just lucky. Vegas has the Patriots 3-point favorites, but the national media is explaining it as only a scheme to pull in more dollars from New York. Do you think the Giants are getting a little overconfident hearing all of the same stuff the Patriots are listening to? I think we should just give up to the national media and Giants and go home, forfeit the game, and outsmart the Giants by gaining one spot in the draft. Why play the thing and just come home now? Okay, Cordell, Marshall, Tom, and Chris, you finally won your Super Bowl. Too bad your legs are gone, but you still have your mouths to rely on. Remember, hate only hurts. Haters, never the hated.
Freddie, can I bring up something completely off topic here?
Right.
The other day, somebody I was talking to here in Indy, somebody with the team, and said that they heard something from the St. Louis Rams that they are contractually obligated to play all their home games at Edward Jones Dome, which obviously puts a little crimp in the plans of going to London next year.
So they're putting up filing a petition or something?
Well, I just got a tweet from somebody who said, do we know any reason why the Pats-Rams ticket sale has been canceled at short notice today?
Ooh.
So I'm putting two and two together and now I'm fretting.
Oh, why don't you put on your journalist hat and dig in? See if you can find any info on that.
I know. That's
interesting.
That's troubling to me.
Eric, that's yet another interesting element you've brought to the show. In 2 days. And I'm being serious.
Thank you. I just I wish this wasn't an element I could bring to the show because I don't want the London game to be in jeopardy.
Now, would you be willing if I set up a London office to man it for the rest of your life?
For the rest of my life?
Yeah. David in Reno writes in, Giants flopped to the ground like fish out of water when the Patriots were driving down the field and down their throats in the hurry-up. Why aren't you guys talking about this? Do you guys watch the games, or do you guys believe it's okay to fake injuries to buy time for defensive substitutions? In a game that's supposedly so offensive-friendly, why haven't they made rule adjustments for this? Perhaps 2 to 3 injury timeouts per quarter, and then after those have been exhausted, real timeouts get soaked up. I look forward to watching the Giants flopping around the field when they can't handle the cohesive juggernaut that is the New England hurry-up. Giants defense cheats, period.
Really?
If it's not against the rules, it's not cheating. That's the only thing I'll say. If they put a rule in it to take it out and they still do it, right, then it's cheating.
It's bad sportsmanship, but
I agree.
I don't think that they should.
But do we really want to go down that road?
Yeah, we don't want injury timeouts.
No, I mean, do we want to go down the road of who does what to bend the rules and sportsmanship? And I don't know, maybe Willie McGinnis did it in the RCA Dome.
No.
I mean, do we really want to nitpick on everything or just play the game? And see who wins. You go no huddle. You do what you need to do to catch them off guard. They'll do what they need to do and see who wins in the end.
John and Lynn writes in, get out the defibrillator for Paul because I have two words, screen pass.
When was that sent in? Was that before the show or is she really?
No, this is every play should be a screen with screen punts and screen field goals. And, Paul, I guess we have to pray that it snows inside the Lucas Stadium in order to stop the Giants' offense.
No, we're not playing the Colts. That was Peyton Manning,
I kind of
not
like,
Eli Manning.
I kind of like all the pundits picking the Giants. It gives me the creeps when everybody and their brother picks the Patriots. It's better when they are the underdog, no-name, overachieving, dirt dog, workhorse, misfits. Insert your cliche here. Going against the loudmouth blowhards. Too bad the Patriots are still favored.
All right, I have a question for you guys that might know a little bit of something about this. A couple of the emailers ago suggested that the only reason why the Patriots were favored in Vegas was because it was a ploy to try to get New York money.
Right.
Okay? So just assuming that that works, if Vegas is trying to get extra New York money, what would that say about what Vegas thinks is going to happen?
What would...
The Patriots are going to win.
Correct.
Because the... New York money loses,
right.
Correct. Vegas
wins. Because they're the wise
Correct.
Guys.
Because they think the who's going to win.
They want New York money because that'll become their money.
But correct.
But the people aren't talking about the wise guys who set the line. Saying, they're talking about the football analysts on ESPN and the NFL Network.
Can anybody else but you talk?
Ooh.
That's who the people
fight,
are.
Fight, fight, fight.
I thought
he wasn't getting mad today. Right. You didn't even last 10 minutes after you said that.
That's who people are upset
some,
with, not Vegas.
Calmly and rationally,
yes.
That we are
5 minutes.
Favored.
But
we are favored, so let's stop saying that we're not.
But people are not talking about that, Paul. They're talking about
the
talking heads on TV.
I'm not talking about the people, Fred. I'm talking about trying to portray ourselves as the underdog that we're not.
No, it's clearly, Paul, they're going to be the second time they've won the Super Bowl as the underdog that was favored.
You just had a poll that you showed me of 500,000 people that are split 50-50.
Right, but those are fans.
Okay.
Again.
But that's 500,000
again,
people. I care about 500,000 people more than I do
we know,
30 people on the Mike and Mike show.
We are very aware that the Patriots are favored in Vegas. And for good reason, by the way. It's not a ploy. It's you know... That's
no,
why.
I'm saying,
that's
if it
that's,
is a ploy, it's because
right.
they think
Paul,
the Patriots are going to win.
But see, you don't understand. That's what gets people that much more upset. They should be favored, yet you turn on TV and no one's picking them. That's what gets people upset. They don't get the respect as the favored team.
But why would that upset you? I don't understand.
Well,
that.
That's
it's an why, even game.
That's why we are
and,
what we
and,
are.
And any analysis can pick either side of this game with good reason.
There's no doubt.
Why would that bother you? I don't get that.
And then it should come
Explain
down 50-50 among the analysts,
and it
but
has.
It's not.
Can somebody put a list together of all these analysts that have picked against the Patriots? That's what I need. Everybody just keeps saying everyone's picking the – who? When? How?
Who's upset?
I haven't finished this email. The emailer says, I heard Heath Evans report that before Super Bowl 42 – they were tired because of too much full padded practice, and their hotel was noisy, and the beds were too hard. So that makes me feel better about that debacle. Oh, and the dog ate their playbooks. Hopefully, this will be my last shot at Logan Choker Mankins. If he has a game like last Super Bowl, he should wear a dress. And Andy should tell him, I said so after the loss.
I lied. I said I wasn't going to get mad. That comment made me mad.
However, if he steps up and plays to his abilities, I will never, ever say anything negative about him again and will have a big bust commissioned in his honor. And yes, Andy, I said big bust.
Is he the only guy that's ever had a bad game?
No.
Well, I don't understand the venom towards Logan Mankins. I really don't.
Well, he's your best guy. It's like the venom toward Brady. He's your best guy.
Yeah, so, but I don't hear the venom towards Brady.
Oh, are you kidding me?
From Patriots fans?
He's no good in the playoffs anymore?
Who
from
says
Patriots
that?
Fans?
Paul.
From the Patriots fans?
There's two people that say that. Paul and a guy who just walked through into that.
Wait a minute. Paul said, and we'll say again, Brady recently in the playoffs has been uneven. He's had some ups and some downs. Early in his playoff career, they were all ups. That's all I said. I didn't say I don't have any faith in Tom Brady.
But I've never heard any. I mean, there's venom towards Mankins. Personal turnstile of Justin Tuck, and he's a bust. And they ripped it.
It might be the same guy emailing over and over again.
That's true, too. That's always a possibility. Yeah, that happens a lot to me.
Trevor writes in, I totally agree with every word Fred said. The Giants are being made out to be gods. And they aren't. Like you said, net yards don't matter if they can't score. The Patriots have had a better overall season. Overall have played better. You're completely right. So, anyway. Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398. Paul's fuming. I did my job.
Paul's not fuming.
No? You're not? Okay, I'll keep working at it. Mike.
I know you will.
Mike in Florida is on the line. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Andy, you honor us all by calling Tim a douchebag whenever you can.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now, is that Tim Tebow or Tim in Pensacola?
No, Tim from Pensacola.
Okay.
Of course. Hey, so listen, I rarely agree with Fred because he's such a homer. And I don't care because I actually like when the Patriots are, or when the opposing team gets all the press.
Yeah,
but
I agree with
after
you.
Watching way too much NFL Network and ESPN, I got to agree with Fred, man. The Giants is like a definite Giants bias. Again, I don't care, but I think it's obvious. And just a couple of quick examples for Paul. There was a bunch of analysts outside wherever, and they had a hand with the Patriots and Giants logo, and each analyst would put a ring on the finger of the team they thought would win. And I think it was 6-3. You know, Jaws and who else was out there? I don't know. Chris Carter and Susie Colbert actually said, well, considering that no Patriots have visited us on the show, I'm going to go with the Giants. So the Giants have been getting a lot more people on their shows and things like that.
Oh, and that makes some sense.
Right before we came.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
No, right. I just you keep telling me that no one's picking the Patriots, and Mike just told me it was 6-3. So you lied.
Right before we came on the air, I saw Larry Fitzgerald on NFL Network, and he went with the Giants too.
Did he say why?
Because
the Giants talk to him nicer.
No, because he thinks that the front four are going to get make life painful for Brady or something along those lines.
And that's the other thing. Patriots fans seem to be getting all worked
make
up.
Make life difficult for
the
Brady.
Giants. Were 9-7, and they lost to the Redskins twice, and all this. I mean, there's something to be said for what are they doing right now. What is that front seven doing right now?
True.
What is Hakeem Nicks doing right now? How are they playing right now? It's not all that relevant that Tom Brady threw for 600 yards in the opener against the Dolphins. It's borderline irrelevant, right? So don't go with the whole, they were 7-7 and we're not getting the respect. It's about how you play right now.
It's like
Brady.
Patriots
are playing
pretty good, too.
It's like
yes,
Brady,
they are.
I
no,
feel, I
no
feel
question.
If the front four for the Giants is not going to be a huge part of this game because I think the Patriots are going to scheme and block a lot better, and I don't think it's going to be a huge factor. Does that mean my analysis is biased and slanted?
Hey, can I jump in real quick?
Does that mean that my analysis is biased or slanted because I think the Patriots' front offensive line is going to handle the Giants' front four?
No, you're an objective observer.
No, but why when people say that the Giants' front four is, like Larry Fitzgerald says, the Giants' front four is going to make life difficult on Brady, and somehow that's Patriots hate?
Well, most people think that. That's why.
But why is that Patriots hate?
Is that irrational that they're playing really well as a front, and the last time they played Brady as a front, they made his life tough?
In November, you mean?
No, I mean no, the Super Bowl. I mean, that's in people's minds. As much as Bill can say that game doesn't matter, it's in people's minds.
I know.
You can't take it out of
their
minds.
That's one of the reasons why I think it's not going to be a factor, is because I think people are making too much out of the Super Bowl that happened 4 years
and
ago.
And you're reasonable, but these people are not.
I'm reasonable because I'm on your side.
And I've never been called reasonable.
No, and no one's ever called me that.
No, but, you know, these people will look at, well, it happened in 07, so it's going to happen again. Are really, you know, not giving the Patriots credit for making any adjustments, not giving this offensive line any credit for the way they've played this year.
But can't you counter that with no one's given credit for how much better Manning
you
is?
Can talk
They're two different teams.
You can talk about the weak schedule, but there was a pretty good stretch of games in which they played some pretty good, you know, some teams that had some good weapons when it comes to edge pass rushers. One after another, and
correct.
They dealt with them very, very well.
Yeah, that gets me off to a side point. I watched that NBC Talks or something last night with Florio, and Jason Taylor was on, and he said, you know, Matt Light hasn't had a very good year for whatever reason.
What?
That just tells me, you're Jason Taylor,
attention.
You showed up and you didn't pay attention.
You don't know,
because he's had a very good year.
He's had one of his best.
Right.
That's going to make the Miami Dolphins feel great that he spent so much time preparing for his assignments during the course of the season.
And again, you know, I will go back to the schedule. Yes, maybe some of the teams weren't that good, but some of the people that Matt Light went up against were.
But, you know, this is probably the best matchup.
Sure.
This is the best defensive front this line will face, and this is the best wide receiver weapon core that the defense will face.
In a similar vein, Andy, does this concern you? When I talked to Human Yura earlier today, I asked him, you know, how different is the Patriots offensive line, not only from the Super Bowl, but from the Week 9 matchup? And the first name he mentioned was Steve Neal. He's like, well, I know Steve Neal. No, he said, I know that Neal's not there anymore. And what's his name? Couldn't think of the right tackle. And then said, is Copen still with them? And I said, yeah, he's on injured reserve. And so
that would fall in line with their cockiness.
So, talking about preparation and knowing your assignments, you would think he would know all five guys and all their backups. And at this point, don't you think?
Yeah, that would fall in line with cockiness.
Right.
I think they're cocky. Yep. I think there's a good chance that's why they lose this game.
The Patriots, on the other hand, know the strength and conditioning guy for the Giants, and they know him by name and his history. That's how detailed the Patriots are.
I thought he was going to say they know the assistant special teams coach by name, and I was going to say, well, that's because it's Larry Izzo.
Right.
The Human Euro thing was Osa, you said, right, Eric?
Yes.
I think that's one of those things, like, I agree with Andy. They're cocky to the point of over-the-top cocky.
Right.
And it's one of those things that they're saying to themselves, well, I don't really care who's blocking me because they can't block me. I'm going to get by whoever it is. And that's not a good way to go into a Super Bowl.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go down to Orlando. Let's go down to Springfield and talk to Orlando.
Hey, fellas?
What's up, Big O?
And I'm hanging in there. Listen, man, last time I called, I was extremely nervous. Wasn't feeling good about this matchup at all. But I got to admit, man, listening to you guys over the past week, you guys have kind of, you know, brought it back to me a little bit. You got to make me feel a little bit more comfortable about this matchup. And, I mean, Fred, you know, you with the homerism. Paul, obviously the good analysis is, you know, grounded nice in, you know, reality.
Obviously, Orlando, obviously.
Exactly. The only one thing's missing, though, and that's actually from Andy.
What?
Andy, listen. To make me feel better, to make me feel more confident, more comfortable with what we're going through here, what we're about to go through, I need you to make a joke, actually a gay joke, at Eric's expense.
Make me feel better. Hang up. We're losing the connection here, Orlando. We're going to have to let you go now.
I'm not surprised that Orlando has picked up on it because we haven't been ourselves.
Well, I will tell you, Orlando, St. Elmo's is a famous steakhouse here in Indy, and someone asked Eric if he went and if he tried the shrimp cocktail, and I said, I'm not sure about the shrimp or the tail.
See now.
I like Eric. Eric is good people. In fact, Eric, it's good to have you on the show, like, for
show. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Listen,
speak for yourself.
I want to comment and a quick question. First, my comment real quick. Look, I saw the interview with Robert Kraft that Trey Winkle did yesterday. Man, I mean, I feel so bad for this guy. Every time he mentioned his wife, he's like, breaks down and stuff like that. I mean, it's obviously still bothering, man. I mean, I just, you know, what do you say? But
Isn't it awesome, though? Like, on some level, because I generally think that all these rich, powerful people, even that have longtime wives, don't really love them, that they're not really a couple, that they don't really spend all that much time together with their actors, politicians.
Right.
You see so many of these cases where it's just, it's this thing for the cameras, but it's not real.
Right.
This was clearly real, and it's sad that he lost her, but it's also refreshing to see that you can be a rich, powerful world leader and truly have a home life and a wife and a relationship. Like, I think it's unique and special.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he's definitely the real deal, and he's a lot better than what we used to have here in terms of ownership.
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you're
good
kidding.
Lord.
Night and day. Oh, yeah.
All right, listen, fellas, my question is this. I'm hearing a lot about the front four, or the front seven, but especially the front four, about the Giants' pass rush. Do you see us maybe counteracting that with Brady doing a lot more three-step drops and throwing into the backfield, you know, into the flat with the running backs, or do you see them doing a lot of draws with, like, Ben Jarvis?
I think you'll see both.
Hey, it's running back screens, Mason.
Yeah.
I think a lot
just
of
trying to get Paul's goat
a lot
here.
Of quick drops, I would say, and I agree. I all around, I think you'll see a lot of that stuff. I think it's going to make it a lot easier for them to handle it, because I think if you just sit there and you drop back 40 times and you get, you know, seven steps back every time, they're going to get to you.
All right, let's go to Larry in Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm the one with the green-eyed monster the
okay.
other day. Paul kind of picked on what I was saying. Our three guards and three tackles against any defensive line you're going to put out there.
Why do we have six linemen out there?
Because they need help, that Giants pass rush. Haven't you heard?
Well, but see, we don't hear anything about our offensive line. We only hear about them.
Oh, we've talked about Matt Light having a great year ad nauseum.
I'm talking nationally.
Oh, okay. Well, you might be right, because Jason Taylor thinks Matt Light had a bad year.
And Larry, you bring up a good point. You know, rarely do you see national guys talking about offensive linemen, because they just don't do the homework.
And part of it is back to the matchup thing, though. I think people just have Matt Light and Logan Mankin struggling in their minds from four years ago.
Right.
It's just a low-hanging fruit that they go to.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll take Waters. Before I go, there's one thing I want to add. But first, I also like our five guys in the middle on the defense. You start with Wolfork over the center. Our two middle linebackers, and I like McCourty and Chung as our safeties. Better than that.
Any of their defensive linemen,
I'll take Wolfork in the middle.
I like them with Bill Belichick as their coach.
And the way McCourty's been playing, safety has been actually quite interesting.
It'll be challenged, I'll tell you that much. I think it's interesting to have him back there.
Yeah.
Certainly better to have him back there to stop a guy like Cruz or Nix than chasing him like he was early in the year with so many of these guys.
And I was looking at, you know, whenever they show the big plays or a lot of the big plays from Manning, he likes to go down the middle.
He likes the middle
of the field.
I really do. But one thing I would do if I was Belichick, because I don't want to take there must be whole lots of people.
Heck yeah.
Is I would take and go get myself some pink tutus, and I put it in every offensive lineman's locker with gift from the Giants.
Oh, okay.
And that would be what they would see on Sunday afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Larry. That's Larry in Worcester. All right.
Thanks, Larry.
12:45. Patrick in New York's on the line. Eldridge in North Carolina. We got a ton of emails, but we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Gear up for the Super Bowl at the official team store, the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise anywhere, from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, game day party gear, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Yeah,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
They inch closer to the game day, and it's just wild. It's just a dream come true that we're going to be able to play in the Super Bowl just here as a team. We all got here together, we all worked hard, and everyone deserves that on the team. And
all right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, and the email is webradio@patriots.com, talking about the bias and why it's so biased for the Giants. Brent in Illinois writes in, I've kept my trap shut about the lopsided coverage of this Super Bowl slanted as Giants, Giants, Giants. But this morning on NFL radio, I heard one of the most ridiculous biased things I've heard in a long time. One of the producers gets on the air to say that the Giants wide receivers falling down in the NFC Championship game was an example of the maniacal genius of Tom Coughlin, and that because he is such a genius, the Patriots don't have a chance. What these same people not 3 months ago were calling this genius to be fired. Please, this is getting out of hand. I agree.
I do, too, with that aspect of it. It's always the greatest this. He's a genius at that. This is great. Blah, blah, blah.
And Strippers writes in, he said, last night NBC Sports Talk with host with the host. It wasn't Mike Florio. It was somebody else.
Yeah, Florio was in the middle. There's a host.
Laughed. This person laughed as Doug Flutie picked the Patriots. And the host said Flutie is the first person and only to pick the Patriots. So there you go. Flutie picked the Patriots.
Oh, no surprise there.
But then he got laughed at for doing it. So that's a point.
It's because he's a little man.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Patrick in New York. Hey, Patrick.
Oh, patio.
Patrick. Yeah, hello.
Hey, Patrick. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I've been a Patriots fan for a long time, and there's a couple of things about 2007 that people didn't mention. That, you know, our team didn't have a running game to establish, and our defense didn't pressure the quarterback, like, you know, the way it was supposed to.
Yeah,
and
now
we could stop the run.
Do you have confidence they can pressure Manning the way it's supposed to this time?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I do.
From, and is that a Ninkovich thing, an Anderson thing, a Will Fork collapsing the pocket? Where does that confidence come from?
I mean, we stopped the number one rushing offense already, so we're confident we can do it.
Yep. I mean, I don't think that people should overthink that 07 game. You know, It was a 17-14 game. The reason why the Patriots lost was because they didn't score enough points with Brady. And, you know, it's because of the pressure on Brady, plain and simple, that they lost that game. No, defense played fine. It was just because the Giants' defense got the pressure on Brady, and that was it.
But you're not concerned that could happen again? I
know. No.
Well, I'm saying overconfident. I think they're cocky. I think they've crossed a line. But they have their swagger, and they believe, you know, they went through all the stuff all year with Tuck and Umanyora that, you know, they weren't consistent. You know, they were joking, you know, that it should be, you know, that Pierre Paul didn't lead him in sacks because sacks per pass play, and those other guys didn't play as much.
Right.
Well, they're playing now, and I think it's like 5.5 sacks for Tuck since the end of the season. They think they're back to that we can win this game by ourselves level.
And, you know, they should, because they've played some pretty darn good teams and beat them. You know, you look at the Packers, the odds on favorite to go all the way this year. And, it, you know, that's when the season started, and then as the season progressed, it got even more so that people thought they were going to do it. They thought they were just going to roll through this thing. They get to the Giants in the playoffs, and, you know, the Giants did a pretty good job. Now, the Packers did drop a lot of balls in that game, and who knows how it would have turned out if they didn't.
But you could do that with every game.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I don't know why, you know, when the Patriots have that luck, it's just luck, but when... You know, when the Packers did it, it's the Giants' defense, but that's another story.
My one concern.
Those are the comments that get me wrong.
Right.
Yeah. I was looking at
my
Paul.
One concern.
He was getting redder and redder, as they said.
No, I know you did that on purpose. I was giving you what you wanted.
Okay. My one concern is the whole resiliency thing, I really think falls on the side of the Giants. I really think they played the tougher schedule. They fought. How many fourth quarter comebacks did they have to have? How many close losses did they have?
That's true.
You know, they have a month stretch where you play Green Bay, New Orleans, and San Francisco.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. For you to
and
get past that and be in the Super Bowl, you've proven yourself. I don't care what your record says, whether you dropped the ball against the Redskins. That's bad. To lose to the Redskins twice is
bad.
Inexplicable, but... They've proven themselves.
They lost
this year.
To Seattle.
Right.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. But they have a lot of impressive games where they tested themselves.
Yep.
And they should feel like we're ready to battle. We're ready to go to war.
And you said it before, Andy. It really is only about what you're doing right now.
Right.
That's all it is. You don't go back to week 2 or 4 or 10. It's what you're doing right now and what is the state of your team at this moment. And I think And that's why this is such a great game. I think both teams are in a good state.
Are the Patriots playing their best football of the year? I don't think there's any question the Giants are playing their best football. Are the Patriots playing their best football that they have all year?
Defensively, yes. Offensively, no.
That's a possibility, but that may be just the Ravens. You may be just kind of...
Right.
You're thinking about... They looked pretty good when six touchdown passes against the Broncos.
Collectively, I think they are playing their best ball right
Yeah,
now.
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's
certainly not their last game.
I don't
game.
Think you
not
can argue
game, no.
that the Giants aren't playing their best. They are playing their best football right now.
I mean, I would
opinion.
Say 3 out of their last 4 games they haven't been very sharp. I mean, they
right.
fell behind
21-0,
17-0, and they had a tooth pull with Baltimore.
That's my question. Are they playing their best football? Are they peaking at the right time? Because I think the Giants are.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think you could micromanage too. I mean, I think both teams are playing extremely well. I mean, the Patriots won 10 in a row. And the Giants have won 5 in a row. The Giants most recent game, I don't think they played exceptionally well.
No, but they also played a great team.
Oh, yeah, and I think the Patriots played a very good team, too. Maybe not a great team, but they played a very good team. Now, they had the advantage of being at home, and the Giants didn't. But I think both. I think the momentum side, I understand what your resilient point, because everybody keeps talking about the mental toughness for the Patriots, but no one's talking about that with the Giants, just like everybody's talking about the Giants front four, no one's talking about the Patriots offensive line.
Right.
That's done a really good job of protecting Brady all year, I think. But I think that both teams are going to have a lot of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams are feeling very good about themselves coming into this game, and both should feel very good
except
about themselves.
Except the quarterback for the Patriots.
Yeah, but
they suck. Hopefully I just play better next week.
Well, hopefully we can get the center exchange down. We won't have any fumbled snaps.
Dan in Vermont writes, and I was wondering, and I wanted to get this to you before the big game, if the team wins, do you get rings? I want to know because you definitely should. And, of course, I don't mean Eric, too. I guess he says I don't.
I don't mean Eric, too. What does that mean?
And, of course, I don't mean Eric, too.
Maybe he meant to write, I do mean Eric, too.
Whether you intended it or not,
key word.
You are the beating heart of the true Patriots fans media world. There is simply no other organization that I can think of that does so much to bring fans as close to the team. The irony is that it happens at notoriously closed and walled-off Gillette. Ocho was saying it's like Fort Knox, yet three buffoons sit in the basement and tell stories from the locker room almost every day. I'm really not kidding, though.
That's four buffoons.
I'm really not kidding,
Eric's
though.
No, Eric's not a buffoon.
You do a lot to bring the most committed fans into the Patriots world,
and
I think
you
deserve some recognition if this team finishes the year strong. In some way, it would feel like all of us everyday listeners would be getting a ring, too.
I do need to update the little stories we tell. One of mine was always that Brandon Gorin had some pretty flapjacky breasts. We saw him last night at the team hotel. He's an Indiana guy, a Purdue guy, and was coming to hang out with Matt Light. He looks like he's in pretty good shape now. I think his flapjacks have shrunk.
Oh, yeah?
You know what else?
Oh, he looks great.
You know what I'm always struck by with those kinds of things? Because every year on the road at some point, we bump into former Patriots.
Yep.
Some of them, like we've seen Tom Ashworth, who always was one of our favorites. He loved Andy, and he was always very friendly with us. But a guy like Brandon Gorin, I don't pretend to have – I talked to him several times for stories or whatever,
right.
But didn't, you know, spend time, you know, shooting the poop at his locker on a consistent basis. As soon as he walks in last night, he walks over to us like, you know, where you guys been? How's everything? Not that he knew exactly who he was talking to, but he knew who we all were.
Because we're part of the fraternity.
And what we all did. But it's just striking to me how different it is once they're not playing anymore.
Right. But they know. They're human beings. They see the faces all the time.
The pressure's off.
But I'm talking about the emailers, you know, comment from Ocho about it. It's Fort Knox down there. Like, they can't let us know that they know.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden they're not playing anymore. And, you know, there they are. They're our buddies.
Let's see.
Until he finds out I've been talking about his flapjacks.
RL writes in. He says, Andy and Paul clearly have not watched any TV coverage of the Super Bowl. Everyone is picking the Giants. Some are even saying it won't even be close.
We had one guy come in with specifics at 6-3.
Some are even saying it won't even be close while laughing like Mortensen from ESPN. I think Paul is taking a page out of Felger's scripts and being a contrarian.
No, can I ask our listeners? I'm being serious here. Just every time you see a pick, email it in. Tell me who it is, who they picked, what the score was, so we can collect it. I'll put it on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's interesting. Everybody says, I just want to know who. I want to tie people to predictions.
That would be a good blog post.
Yeah. And they, I mean, obviously, we're here. We have less time to sit and watch TV. Some of these people are watching a lot of the coverage.
Right.
Do us a favor.
Yeah.
When you see
picks, come up with a list.
Email them in.
Yep.
And we'd be happy to put them all together.
But don't just, you know,
stop yelling at Fred and take a picture.
Because a lot of people, you know, aren't doing formal picks yet, but also include the disparaging remarks.
Yes, obviously.
Right.
We need those.
Because that's part of it.
You are insane.
That's part of it.
Absolutely insane.
That is part of what gets people upset.
I'm all for that, too. If someone does it with a mocking laugh, tell us. If somebody says, no chance, tell us.
And Fred, in full disclosure here, I think we talked off the air and when we were working a little while ago, but I have seen a lot of people pick the Giants. I'm not saying that people aren't picking the Giants, but I just don't take it as a personal affront that like you do.
Well,
that someone could take a game that, in my mind, is pretty even and pick a team.
Well,
I don't think that that's disrespectful.
Right.
I think the contrarian point of view comes in, I'm being labeled a contrarian here. I think it's contrarian to say that you're the underdog when you're favored. I think that's being contrarian. Yeah,
no.
You don't really think that we're the better team.
I think that's trying to be a contrarian. Again,
Everybody thinks that we're going to lose. Well, that's not really
the
case.
That's my point earlier. the Patriots are the favorite team, and that's what gets people riled up that they're not getting picked. Why aren't you doing the riling, Fred? Why aren't
you're getting everybody riled why up? Aren't they, you're making people upset.
We're favored. At least it should be coming in 50-50.
And are we sure it's not? I would like to the first email from strippers. Tony Gonzalez picked the Giants. Doug Flutie picked the Patriots. So we're 1-1.
And he got laughed
officially.
At.
Officially, we're 1-1.
Luca writes in, I'm actually pretty surprised that
Sleeps
you are our, you are all of you are so confident in the Patriots' victory.
Oh, I don't think Paul is.
I'm right on the fence. I couldn't be more wishy-washy. Right
I was
now.
Hoping that we would face the 49ers in their pathetic offense
Me
and
too.
Not the
I was,
Giants.
I was too.
Now that we do
Hart
face
Wilson,
the Giants, I think we don't have a of great chances to win.
Oh, that's blasphemy.
About the debate whether there is more pressure on Brady or Manning, I mean, come on. It's clearly Brady. If he loses on Sunday, he'll be 3-2 in Super Bowls and only one early and the only wins early in his career.
That's so stupid.
Three unconventional questions. Does Randy Moss get a ring for the failed perfect season?
Yes.
And comforting Ocho?
Oh, wait, you mean a ring from this year?
I guess
no.
So. No.
He got a ring for the AFC title championship season. Yeah.
Would you go get DeSean Jackson, or would you rather have a big number one receiver via the draft? If you could choose.
Between those two?
If I were sure to hit on it, yes.
I would take
the
receiver.
What are the two things?
A big number one receiver in the draft or DeSean Jackson?
Oh, big number one receiver.
Yeah.
And will we get a JPP or Alden Smith in this year's draft, Mr. Draft?
I would rather have that than the big number one receiver.
You're not Mr. Draft.
Sorry.
I'm not Mr. Draft right now either. I'm Mr. Super Bowl. I'll become Mr.
We
Draft
even
in a few weeks.
We haven't even.
Okay,
I mean,
let's
this is
check, in, our check in with Mrs.
Stuff.
Draft then.
Thanks.
Mrs. Draft knows less than Mr. Draft.
That's inaccurate. We know equally nothing about this draft.
Thanks, guys, for all the hard work and dedication and for That's doing true. Your job. Now, Pats, do your job and win this freaking game, and I hope I won't have to hear, he hooked it to win the game.
Wait a minute.
I don't
something
care,
in the
I don't
middle
care
of
what
that
I hear.
That I said was stupid. What was it?
About Brady having more pressure. It was
Brady would have won his Super Bowls early in his career.
Right, he's got three Super Bowls. When you win them is not really all that relevant, and I don't see how you can't see the pressure on Manning. You don't know what his career is going to be from here on. He has been inconsistent. But in my opinion, you win two Super Bowls and then just have an average career here on out, you're probably going to Canton. You probably get a gold jacket. That's pressure. Now, he may not feel it. Maybe he doesn't care. You know, he says it's not about my legacy. It's about the Giants and my teammates. But he can put himself in the select company of multi-time Super Bowl winners and have beaten Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. To me, there's a chance you punch your ticket to Canton.
Oh, I don't know. Matt in Albany says, just wanted to let you
was
know
that disrespectful of me, Paul, to say something like that?
No, but it was disrespectful of Fred.
I think he has to have a few more seasons where they won because of him in order
but
to
But don't
get
you
the
think
cancer.
He will? He'll probably have seasons where he throws 20 touchdowns.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's my point.
Yeah.
With the two Super Bowls, the other stuff just fills out the resume to finish it.
Right.
He's not
going
to – I mean, the other Manning is dying and ending his career. Eli's not.
Right.
So he's going – if he wins this Super Bowl, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Has there ever been two brothers in the Hall
of Fame? Okay, hold on a second. I have a quick update here. Kevin gives me an ESPN partial roster here. 5 Giants, 3 Patriots, 2 have yet to pick.
Who are the Patriots?
Schefter and Schlereth pick the Patriots. AccuScore picks the Patriots. Is that Eric Allen, Merrill Hodge, Ron Jaworski, and Chris Mortensen, and Seth Wickersham pick the Giants?
Wow.
Do they have
Sports Nation, no, not in yet, but you said that was dead even, right, Freddie?
50-50.
On ESPN.
50-50.
Those are the fans, though.
That's right, that's what Sports Nation
is. That's what this
that's
is.
Included in this.
Right.
That other thing's not an analyst.
AccuScore.
No. AccuScore.
It's
only
2 analysts for the Patriots. 5-2, in all actuality.
But the computer picked the Patriots.
But the computer picks the Patriots.
Right, because
they're supposed to win.
Right, because the computer is unbiased.
And some of those are biased,
exactly.
No question. Merrill Hodge is biased.
Exactly, which is why I don't understand why it gets you upset.
Does it bother you that Marshall Faulk picks the other team? How do you even take him seriously?
It bothers
me.
No, it bothers me that it bothers me.
I lost my mic.
It bothers me that Marshall Faulk has a job.
Couldn't keep his promise.
That's what bothers me. Why is he even up there when he's not looking at things
analytically? Got rid of the disrespect
analytically.
Did we get rid of it? No.
He's not looking at things analytically ever when it comes to the Patriots.
He's a clown. Why do you care what he thinks?
That's what bothers me that he has a job. That's what bothers
stop
me.
Stop it.
John writes in,
if he was a clown for the Patriots.
How good is my
exactly.
How good is my Giants secondary? Because I believe that's where the game will be won. I think the protection is important, but they will rush and will get pressure because they're too good to not to. although I don't think it will be as bad as 07. Do you think our receivers can win the battle even with Gronk being 70 or 80%?
I'm dubious. I think Gronk is key. If it's just Welker, Branch, and
Hernandez,
I think you're coverable. I think that's a little concerning.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Did you forget about the calls?
How doing?
Hey,
speak up.
Yep, we're going to hear you.
I mean, I love your show, but
there we go.
Let me give you some analysts. NFL playbook. Sterling Sharp picked the Patriots. Baldinger picks the Giants. Thyssen picked the Giants. Coach Billick of the coaching show picked the Giants. Coach Marvin Lewis picked the Giants.
Ooh.
Let me go on down to NFL,
right
NFL Network. Let's see. Marshall Faulk, Giants. Deion Sanders, I believe in Eli, Giants.
6-1.
And Urban for the Dallas Cowboys, Giants.
Urban, yeah. 7-1.
Yeah. Every time you turn around, man, they're showing Brady sacks.
Right.
They're showing Eli catching, throwing passes. Rashad run the end zone. None of the Patriots doing none of this stuff.
Right.
So the computer might have picked the Patriots, but 95% of the world is picking the Giants.
Yeah, they're either showing
that's 12-4. I have right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're either showing
ESPN and NFL Network. So we'll show our little tally.
They're either showing Gronkowski getting hurt, Brady getting sacked, or the Giants making
exactly.
great plays.
Exactly. You know, they don't show no touchdowns. Nothing.
Yeah. Brady had six touchdowns 2 games ago.
Freddie,
they haven't shown one
Freddie,
of them.
Are you ever going to say the stuff that we talk about when we're not on the radio? When we're watching TV and they're discussing Brady's legacy?
Those are all
if he's the greatest of all time?
He is the greatest of all time.
Right. They say he's overrated.
So can we ever talk about that?
That's rehashed from months ago. They're just they're just filling time. When it comes to live stuff, the real stuff comes out with these people.
Okay, so do you just think they hate the Patriots?
Hold on.
They hate the Patriots.
Okay.
They hate the Patriots, exactly. And then they're saying that if Tom wins this, he still won't be considered the greatest quarterback. He got to do one more. I'm like, You got to be kidding me. To me,
I haven't seen that.
I watched the whole thing yesterday. Yeah. I watched the whole thing, and Andy and I spent 10 minutes making fun of Fred. Yeah, no one's talking anything good about the Patriots. They're all gushing over how great Tom Brady is.
And I've seen endless ones. I mean, I saw Matt Millen was joking, you know, it's hard for me to go against Joe because he got me one of these and he shows his ring. But I don't know if he wins this, I don't know how you can argue against Tom Brady as the greatest.
Yep, that too. I got a couple more questions. I'm going to let you go.
And they still pick the Giants.
I know we got a 53-man roster, right? But watching the pictures from the Super Bowl, I see they got Doran and Britt Davis, the receivers. They was on the practice squad. Did anybody come up and take the pictures during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they bring everybody down for pictures.
Everybody's here.
Unless you're the Packers.
Okay, I was just wondering. I was just wondering about that. Because I was thinking, were they going to try to implement them in the game or...
No. And Dickerson's on IR now. He got put on IR last week when they brought
practice squad injury
Carson
reserve.
Butler back. So
Martell Carter, number 49, the defensive end. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's on the practice squad.
I haven't seen him played all year.
He's on the practice squad, yeah.
And they're all here. Certainly the guys on the practice squad are practicing.
They're practicing every day.
Okay.
And, good analysis right there.
We got a good thumbs up from the PR department right there. That's good analysis.
Okay, now one thing that do concern me, I know Edelman is a multitasker, where you want to put it, but I think you ought to put Sterling Moore on Victor Cruz with some help, not Edelman.
Yeah,
I would feel better about it.
I'm not sure if it's Moore, but I'm pretty sure it's not Edelman, in my opinion, that should or would be matched up against Victor Cruz. I think he'll get killed.
If he's up against Manningham Knicks, I won't like that.
I'd like it more against Manningham because I think he's a physical guy that will fight.
Everybody thinks he's going to be on one of them, and that's the mismatch, and that's going to be the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think Manningham makes more sense.
If he's on Edelman, if Edelman and Cruz are a matchup, I think that might be the Super Bowl. I think Cruz will kill him.
Cruz will kill him. Hey, he played at UMass. How the devil did we miss him?
Well, he didn't have a lot of people
drafted.
Around him.
He wasn't all that good. He played in a bad conference.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a really.
He was undrafted.
Not known for his passing.
And I don't know if you. I don't know if you saw the story today, Eldridge. There was a report in one of the New York papers that the Giants were actually considering cutting him in training camp
this year.
And the reason they didn't was because Rex Ryan was popping off about the three touchdowns, and
right,
they worried that
he just keeps talking.
Well, no, they worried that the Jets would take him if they cut him. Yes. So, right.
Yeah, that's why they kept. I saw that.
Yep. All right, Aldridge, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
That's weird, though. If they were going to cut him, why would they be worried if another team picked him up?
I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't know the whole story.
Brian says...
You don't want to look bad in your neighbor in New York. You don't want him to go be a star elsewhere.
Brian says, how about you put together your own list? People with eyes know that the media is favoring the Giants. If you don't see that or don't believe it, you're one of the few.
Oh, I didn't say they're not favoring. I just said, you keep saying no one's picking the Patriots, and we keep getting people to call...
You're taking that literally.
Exactly.
Right. Well,
and we're finding out that it's a lot closer to even than you're making it out to be.
And while it's really up to you to inform yourself, not up to us to teach you this.
Well, we don't have
school,
time to sit and watch TV all night long like you.
So people say, you know, why should they do our work for us?
Because it's not part of our work.
Our work is analyzing the game. We're doing a fine job of that. All you people want to talk about is how, everybody's picking the Giants. Nobody loves our Patriots.
And I want to defend.
You're favored.
I want to defend the listeners and our emailers for a second, because I blame this on Fred.
Me too.
You've whipped everybody up into a frenzy. And this is all of your doing, all because you wanted to get me in a bad mood.
No. Who? Let's see. Jess writes in. Who is this?
You didn't need his help, Paul.
Who is this Super Bowl going to be worse for, Rex Ryan or Peyton Manning? Rex has to watch either his division rival or his big brother in New York City win the championship. Peyton has to watch either his brother surpass his Super Bowl win total,
which would be thrilling for him,
or Brady pull further away from him.
Not so good for him.
As the greatest quarterback of all time debate. I think it's a push based on that, but since Peyton has to watch it in the house he built, I'm giving the nod to Peyton.
Yeah, I think it's much, much worse for Rex.
He's genuinely rooting for Eli, whereas Rex loses either way. It's a loss. It's a guaranteed loss for Rex.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning has a 50-50 shot.
Right.
I mean, if the Giants win the game, he's thrilled. He's almost as thrilled as he would be if he won it himself.
Yeah, he's already said he's all over the Giants.
Do you remember him when the Giants beat the Patriots the last time?
Oh, yeah, he was in the press and the
Do you remember him 2 weeks ago in San Francisco when he was rooting on Eli, and Eli was standing behind him while Peyton addressed the media, and he was downright giddy.
Oh.
Ken from New Hampshire says that Super Bowl odds favor the Patriots, but everyone's picking the Giants. So,
Kirsch.
That's a good email right there.
Quote Kirsch.
Another update I forgot from media availability today. Ty Law and Troy Brown were in the house interviewing ex-teammates for Comcast Sports New England.
Right.
CSNNNE.
Did you know they even make fun of it there? They call it that?
What? CSNNNE?
Yeah. I've heard them joke around, like, because NBC is now a partner, and if we went to NBC Sports, it'd be an easy, instead of our website now, CSNNNE.com. I thought that was just Fred that mocked it.
Let's see. Tony writes in the entire CBSSports.com panel. Prisco, Judge, Freeman, Richard, and Brinson pick the Giants.
16.
Prisco says Giants will handle Brady and Manning, will easily handle the Patriots secondary.
So that's 16-4.
That's pretty lopsided.
Yeah,
you got to admit.
Yeah, that's 80%.
I think it's 17-5. Did you add in
17-5.
Gonzalez and Flutie?
Okay, 17-5.
Still, that's...
Not everybody, though.
No.
Harold picks from VIP Strippers. Borges, Giants.
18-5.
Wow. We know where that
Buckley, Patriots.
18-6.
Callahan, Patriots.
You can't do the local
Duggan,
guys.
Giants.
We're talking 19, national.
Parisian, Giants.
No.
Crapsheet, Patriots.
No.
Ventura, Patriots.
You take out the local guys. They
but
don't
why?
Count.
It's split.
Because no, listen to me. That's not who people are upset with.
Okay, so let's take out the guys that pick the Giants.
No.
I mean, let's take out the guys that pick the Patriots then.
No. These aren't the people are upset with. It's the national media they're talking about. It's what happens
Fred, you know
when,
what? No
it's what happens when they turn on TV.
You. You're upset with this. Come to grips with it.
It's what
You'll enjoy the game a little bit more.
It's what happens when people turn on their TV that gets them upset.
Right. You are upset.
Let's see. Todd writes in, sorry, Andy, can't tell you who's not picking the Patriots. The coverage has been so one-sided. I've forbid ESPN NFL Network from my house this week. I'm only listening to Pete Shepard. Checkmate.
I'm sorry.
And PFW, and I'm going to, Checkmate would be the Rook.
Rook, yeah.
And PFW, and I'm going to try to ignore Paul. And P.S., Eric is having a crazy strong week
on the
radio and blog.
You know what I actually think?
Eric
should move to Indy because he does a very good job at the Combine. He's doing a very good job at this Super Bowl, and he's miserable in New England.
Well, maybe I should move to London like Fred said. I have an update for you on that, Fred.
Okay.
Apparently.
Don't pretend you did any research, though.
I did on the phone.
Really?
No, I've been doing it on the phone. I've been looking up stuff online.
Who'd you tweet?
While you guys were talking. No, I've been looking up stuff online through the phone.
You're really moving to London?
If you go to NFL UK's website where you can where tickets are available, some tickets are available, you can get premium seat and luxury box and hotel package deals for the game. You can't buy individual general admission tickets, which you are apparently supposed to today. And it goes back to the whole thing that I said earlier about the Rams have this lease agreement with the Edward Jones Dome,
right,
where they're obligated to play their home games there. The Rams, St. Louis thinks that the Rams are trying to leave town,
right,
and want to do so before 2014. So they're hurrying to try to make improvements to the Edward Jones Dome. They sent a proposal to the Rams yesterday at end of day, saying that they would make $124 million worth of improvements. The Rams would have to pick up roughly half that cost. And now the Rams, it's in the Rams court. Now they have to decide whether they want to do that. And I think the Rams owner, Kroenke, whatever his name is.
Stan Kroenke,
is trying to give himself some leverage here. But they haven't resolved the issue of whether or not they can play all their home games there or not. So it looks like, at this point, the London game might be in a little jeopardy.
I think that the league makes.
I doubt it.
I think the league takes care of those home teams that.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Or they shouldn't have come out and made an announcement that this team is playing there for three straight years.
Yeah. I would be stunned if that game does not take place as scheduled.
Let's see. Wilmer writes in: Giants pass rush won't get to Brady when the Patriots have two tight ends on the field. They only have four sacks against two tight end formations all year, which is rated the second lowest in the NFL. And we have one of the best O-lines. Expect Tom Brady to have a great game.
I do.
I do as well.
And if you're counting at home, 77 hours till kickoff.
77 hours.
Okay. Three days and 5 hours. And
if you are,
minutes.
Why?
People are nervous about this game. They are excited. They're anxious. They're pumped up. They want to kick it off. I can't blame them.
Me too.
Well, I want to kick it off, but I'm not exactly in an hour countdown 5 days before the game.
It's 3 days, 5 hours.
Thank God.
24, 48, 62. No, 72.
72.
Aaron says, can we take Paul's Vegas argument and toss it out for good? He says that because Vegas wants New York money.
Of course we can, because it doesn't back up Fred's point.
He says that because Vegas wants New York money, they must think the Patriots are going to win. Wrong. That means that they are trying to balance out all the outstanding bets, all of them. From the beginning of the year, the futures, the recent spreads, the NFC versus AFC, everything. They want their money balanced. All this means is more people throughout the year thought the Patriots would make it compared to the Giants. That's not shocking since nobody thought the Packers or Saints were beatable. So, yes, Vegas wants New York money to offset the bets that they have on the Patriots, and the Patriots should have had more since the AFC looked weaker all year. Who's picking against the Patriots? ESPNers haven't made their official picks, but four out of five of the heads talking now are obviously going with New York. Of course, I would expect one of those D-bags to pick the Patriots to win just to inspire the New York defense, but whatever. That's a good point. Very good point.
Okay, I'm going to go back to my listening argument. We had an emailer that suggested that the Vegas doesn't really think the Patriots should be a 3.5-point favorite, but they're doing so to try to entice New York money. To which I responded by saying, if they are trying to entice New York money, wouldn't that then say Vegas thinks the Patriots are going to win, if that's what they want to do? If they want to get more money on New York, that means they think that's going to be loser money that they're going
to
get.
And the emailer points out that the reason why they'd be doing this is to even things out.
I'm just responding to the emailer who said
that's
why they're doing it. They don't really believe it. Vegas does not install favorites based on who they think is going to lose. If you're the favorite, they think that that's the team expected to win.
Chris with a TIAN writes in, five reasons why the Patriots will win the Super Bowl. Number five, Albert Haynesworth won't be flopping around on the D-line and give up a 10-yard TD run to Brandon Jacobs.
I thought he drew a holding call.
Number four, Sergio Brown won't be in at safety to commit a 20-yard penalty on Cruz to put the Giants at the one. Number three,
you better hope he's not in.
Tracy White won't be in at linebacker playing, allowing Ballard to make an unbelievable catch down the seam on 3rd and 10. Number two, Tracy won't be in at linebacker playing run at the goal line and get out late on Ballard. And number one, Tom Brady will not throw two interceptions.
The first four are extremely valid points. I have no idea about five. All those things happened. in key times of the game. Tracy White, Sergio Brown were big factors in that last drive.
That's right.
That's absolutely relevant. Now, of course, Hakeem Nicks wasn't out there either.
Nope.
And neither was Ahmad Bradshaw
right.
and David Boss. So that's going to change some things for the Giants as well. But extreme. I mean, Sergio Brown's pass interference penalty took it from a tie, a potential tie, to a loss.
Touchdown.
Because that got them that said, okay, we don't have to worry about the field goal anymore because Billy Cundiff isn't our kicker. So all we got to do now is try to get in the end zone and we can win. And that's what Brown's penalty did. And then Tracy White couldn't cover Ballard on the game-winning touchdown pass.
Stephen A. Smith picked Giants.
TG and NJ says, Fred, calm down. You sound like Jim Rome. It's obvious that there is just too much media for the Super Bowl now.
Yes.
The two-week hiatus is too long.
I think
long.
We can all agree on that.
Especially with these two teams, the media is sweating it for storylines. Every angle has been covered 10 days ago. Now it's becoming annoying malaise. That's for Squidward. The angle I'm sick of is the Brady and Bill Belichick, Manning and Coughlin legacy. What about the other players in the field? How about if both Manning and Brady get knocked out of the game, then it's Hoyer versus Carr. What about their legacy?
Hey, we did that on Patriots.com yesterday.
Yeah.
Can't wait till the game starts and everybody has to shut up. And hey, Andy, are we seeing your version of the great debate play out here? We didn't get immortality in 07, but here we are 4 years later, back in the big game and still relevant.
It's kind of fun, huh? You know, you're 14-2, the number one seed, then you're 13-3, you go to the Super Bowl. It's kind of nice to win a lot.
Yeah, but see, you lost that.
It's nice
debate.
To win a lot and be undefeated.
That debate was settled.
Yeah. You wouldn't
settled.
Be winning a lot if that debate had
you don't
been
know.
Settled.
You got your ass kicked. Yeah.
How was that debate settled?
It wasn't. It's just Fred. Whatever he
it's
says.
Just Fred.
That's settled business.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it was
settled.
Never settled.
Well, wait a minute.
It's why it's called the Great Debate, and 4 years later, people are still acknowledging
it. Was settled
it was a great debate among us, but most fans took our side.
Well,
no, they
did.
50-50 split. Thanks.
No.
But
it wasn't.
It
was
being as one of the few people that really didn't have a strong opinion on this. I feel like I can argue both
Stop
sides.
Stop taking Fred seriously.
But how was it debate?
It
how
wasn't.
Was it, how was
it wasn't.
Settled?
You're listening to a maniac.
It was settled.
But well, how
we I. Like,
thank you.
Last
thank
year
you
we
very
settled.
Much.
That was well articulated.
That was the kind of articulate.
I remember the
I was
show in
for.
Which Andy admitted, okay.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
First of all, that is complete.
I never admit
Andy
I'm wrong.
Has never admitted that.
I have fact on my side. Hey, Mike Giardi, next to Brandon Jacobs.
On television.
Yes, on television in front of me here at the beautiful team hotel.
That's because the TV is only covering the Giants.
It's true.
Yeah.
Except it was all Patriots a little while ago. Did you hear Bill today, Fred? He was a little smiley again, and somebody asked him about his demeanor, and he said that's different than normal.
Looked like he just came back from clubbing with that purple shirt.
Yeah,
on.
That,
a little bit of a
was that purple?
A little bit of a reappearance of Happy Bill today.
Yeah, Happy Bill a little bit today.
A little, just
and
a little.
And somebody
bit.
Specifically, like you said, asked him about that. Why, you know? And he said, "Look, you know, we feel that we've earned our way here." And, you know, we're going to enjoy it.
Well, that was a topic for Howard Ullman of the Associated Press today. And he asked Matt Light said he's noticed it. He thinks it's just old age, that he's kind of mellowed out a little in his old age, and he's starting to enjoy the things that come with football. Even though football is still first and everything else is in the perimeter, he's starting to enjoy some of the things that come with it more. Obviously, Wes Welker kind of said it's because he has a girlfriend and a lady friend, quote unquote.
He's had a girlfriend.
He's got
for
a lady in his
years
life,
now.
I think is how he put it.
No, I know, but as that relationship has strengthened, maybe she has broken him down a little to have fun.
They just got engaged, didn't they?
What?
They just got engaged, I believe.
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
You're talking about
Welker.
No, we're talking about Belichick.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my fault.
Yeah, Welker's always been a curmudgeon.
Back to sleep in the bunker. Well, that would have been, I mean, we would have been breaking news had that been true. So, no, Bill Belichick is not engaged. He has a lady friend,
so far
as
we know.
Puts it.
Although she probably would have tweeted about it if they were.
She is an active tweeter. She rode the zip line, she said, according to Twitter. While Bill was at practice, she went and rode the zip line.
Wow.
Mark in Nova Scotia says, I've noticed a few.
No, I won't. I'm not an idiot. I'm not going down a temporary zip line.
Everybody's done it, and nobody's had any problem. Why would you?
You know how many times that's been said? The unsinkable ship sunk.
That was the first try.
The unfallible zip line will fall someday.
This isn't the first try. The Titanic sank on the first try.
You make it sound like these things are 100%. All it takes is one.
I know, but why do you think it's going to be you?
I'm assuming it's not going to be...
Why not me? Why not now?
So what, are you going to live in a bubble?
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying if there's something that you find personally dangerous,
well,
why would you say, well, no one else had any problem?
And that's the other thing. I'm not sure I would get any joy out of it.
Andy finds mayonnaise dangerous. I mean...
As Chris Carter said, I turned in my courage with my pads. I'm a punani.
You are. Mark in Nova Scotia, I've noticed a few references in the media that the Patriots have signs of a cold or an illness.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If that's true, how widespread is it, and do you think see it having an impact in the game? I'm worried about late-game conditioning, especially for Matt Light, since he's been battling a stomach bug earlier in the week.
Yeah,
Light,
I think
Vollmer, Molden.
Have you heard about it in the Giants camp at all?
No. And no. I
Paul, you have a theory on that.
I haven't heard any sniffling over there either.
No. Giants will come down with something over the weekend.
Saturday night, Sunday, Paul thinks the Giants will all get sick.
Well, they might not even be able to field a team.
Freddie, do you have any concerns about people have wondered about past Super Bowls and domes? And remember our famous moisture and people getting dehydrated and winded? Any concerns of that? Or was that sort of a Houston specific? Or?
Yeah, I think that was Houston, and it happened in, well, they were sick that year, but in the AFC Championship in against the Colts.
But that was the real dome.
Yeah.
And people thought they were pumping in heat and all kinds of crap. Do you have any locale concerns?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I don't.
But I also thought Vince Wilfork today, Freddie, when he addressed the media after Belichick, thought his voice, he seemed like he was straining.
Wilfork?
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe his voice was tired because he's probably done a lot more media obligations this week than he has all season.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just, his voice is just a little tired, but it kind of, you know, just judging by the flu that Vollmer and Light have, and maybe there is something going around that they're all trying to manage a little bit.
Steve says, thanks a million for all the Super Bowl coverage this week. I appreciate the inside information. I wanted to address Paul's question about why we are angry about the media bias when we should otherwise be understanding. We want to be happy for our team. Our team is in the Super Bowl for the fifth time in the last 10 years. We want to hear favorable coverage that boosts our confidence. However, with the questionable coverage that is often fair, we lose some of our confidence, and that pisses us off. We want to be happy. We want to hear the media say we'll dominate. We want to shove it in the Giants' faces. We aren't given this opportunity until after the game is over. That makes us angry. And you're right, Paul, it's irrational, but we're fans and we're allowed to be.
Yeah, but the last time when everybody gave it to you, you didn't get it in the end. Wouldn't you rather get it in the end than not, you know, you had the pregame.
Speak for yourself there, pal.
Exactly.
You had the pregame hype and you lost the game. Wouldn't you like to be the pregame second thought and then win the game?
Absolutely.
The important thing is winning the game.
And I agree, and I'm with the emailer there. I mean, I think that is rational for a fan. It's Fred that I have a problem with. Fred's whooping everybody up into a frenzy.
Not sure he's a media guy, but Deacon Jones picks the Giants 45, Patriots 44.
Is he a media guy?
No. The other thing is, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, not a media guy. Marvin Lewis, not a media guy. You know, it's like they're the same as all the fans that are 500,000 of which are split 50-50 to me.
The millions and millions.
Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0399.
Brian Lowe looking for a microphone that'll accept his voice.
Brian Lowe did a yeoman's job today. We did the multicast on Patriots.com, and Brian...
Is that a Jewish reference?
Brian walked around with a roving wireless camera to all the tables. It was awesome. He did a great job.
A lot of fun to watch, too.
It just happens to be a mic here I can talk into.
Brian, talk about
someone shorter than me, but who's this for?
Talk about that experience.
I guess.
You're
all we've gotten so far.
Brian Lowe.
It was great. It was definitely a good way. I think it was a good way to get the fans to get a feel for not just what's going on during Super Bowl week, but to kind of see the action. It was neat to do. And, you know, we got a little feel for, you know, went over the practice squad guys, but also spent some time with Gronkowski, a little bit of the coaches, and Robert Kraft as well.
Yeah, Ocho.
A little bit of Ocho. He wasn't
Spanish or English.
Fortunately, it was during the English portion of his.
He wasn't playing though, right? He was kind of a little.
He wasn't
edgy.
Playing last week.
A little edgy.
Yeah, a little edgy.
It's his usual thing. He doesn't play much.
This was also the tail end of the third media session for all these guys. So for a guy who really didn't talk much at all, that was he was probably ready to call it a day.
So right. you went live for the full 45 minutes?
Live for the full 45 minutes.
Any mistakes, snafus, swear words?
No swear words.
Because Ocho swore a couple times yesterday.
Oh, did he?
So. Yeah.
Well, certainly no swear words from me, and I can only control myself, but I did not hear any swear words from anyone else. And, you know, it was communicating with Matt Johnson, our cameraman. That was, you know, I thought maybe that would have been more of a challenge, but we were able to kind of have a good flow all the way through the tent.
Well done, B-Lo. I didn't see it, but everybody said it was good.
Thanks, Andy. And that probably still isn't good enough for you to
I think it was good, though.
Do you have any long-winded questions in there?
I probably had quite a few. Of the 45 minutes, I bet 23, 22 and a half were...
You got a little something going on?
Just a very minor something going on.
Yeah, because your throat sounds a little... Yeah,
very minor.
Okay, get away.
Why don't you move
Unfortunately,
away.
I don't have to use my voice for, my job. So.
I got three more days down here.
Our friend Mike Giardi from Comcast says that Aaron Hernandez is... Add him to the list of...
Thanks, Brian.
People who are sick.
Thanks.
Really?
Team.
How do you know?
He just tweeted.
No, but how does he know?
Because he said Hernandez was worried that he had... some post-nasal drip coming out of his nose during the interview.
Let's go to the phones, 508-298-0398. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What do you got?
Good afternoon. First of all, Vegas is right now trying to entice New England money because contrary to what that emailer said, there were a lot of long shot bets on the Giants. They're like 50 and 60 to 1 back when they were like, 500. In the middle of the season. So if anything, Vegas wants New England to win. They need New England to win, and hence New England is legitimately favored. It's not just a matter of balancing money in Vegas's eyes.
Okay.
Two, imagine if the Ravens had made it. It would have been all 2 weeks with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Suggs and Deion Sanders doing his buddy-buddy thing. So as a Patriots fan, I'm glad we're getting disrespected because at least we're, in the game.
But we are getting disrespected.
There's no question that 2 weeks of bad Super Bowl coverage from the national media is better than 2 weeks of watching another team get covered by the national media.
Of bad Super Bowl.
But you guys don't watch either, so what do you care?
No, I would have been watching if I were at home. But here we don't have time to watch.
No.
We have that one
really,
little TV.
Would you be watching if you were home, truly?
Some of it. I'd watch at night and stuff.
I wouldn't. I'd watch the game, obviously.
It would be painful.
Freddie?
All this pre-stuff? Nah.
I like football, Freddie.
Freddie, an hour and a half in?
Yeah, you agree.
I'm with you, my friend.
Right.
I wouldn't be watching a whole lot. I'd be getting the headlines.
Adam Schein picked the Giants.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Yeah. Evan Silva picked the Giants.
Yep.
21.
Next point. In the ESPN report last night, they were saying, Ed was saying that the Patriots were practicing their silent snap counts.
Yeah.
As guys, you were in both buildings. You said it was really loud in the 2007 AFC Championship game. How about the 4th-and-2 game? How loud, I guess they're saying all the Indians fans are going to be rooting for Eli. How much do you think noise will be a factor in the new building?
I think it will be.
It will be a factor, but it's not nearly what it was in the RCA Dome. That was the loudest place I've ever been.
The 4th-and-2 game was deafening loud, but still nothing.
The RCA Dome, you couldn't hear the person sitting next to you. You couldn't have a conversation with anyone within 6 inches of your ear.
Your ears were literally ringing.
Yeah, nothing like that place.
And are you worried about the noise in this week's game, Jeff?
Well, noise is a big factor in this game. Snap, Ed Werder had a report last night. By the way, I don't watch the coverage either, but at night I'll DVR it and then skim through it. Spend about, a half hour skimming through a couple hours worth. But Werder did make a point. They're playing a Bon Jovi, they're playing a Madonna to practice.
Yeah, I read that.
Right. And if it's loud, it's because there are more Giants fans than Patriots fans in the building.
And it's indoors.
Right.
So it's going to be loud.
No, but it won't be. He made a point about the Colts fans.
They're saying the Colts fans are going to be rooting for Eli.
Jeff thinks the Colts fans will be rooting for Eli.
But I don't know how many Colts fans
Colts fans aren't going to be at the game.
Most of these fans are corporate ticket.
Right. They're going to be
there's a
Patriots
section.
They're not walking up to the box office on game day.
Yeah, there's not going to be any Colts fans in the stands.
I'm with you,
Jeff. Yeah, but not in any great numbers.
I'm with you, Jeff. I think it's going to be loud, and I don't think Belichick would waste his time working on it.
It'll be loud.
It'll be
loud
because of the Giants fans.
It's going to affect the snap count loud, I think.
Potentially, but not anything like a road game.
Yeah, because there'll be.
I don't think you'll get I think it'll be like Gillette Stadium. You'll get loud bursts, but it won't be a consistent factor in the game where it's just loud. There, on offense and it's gonna get loud.
In the last Super Bowl, the fan base was predominantly Patriots,
right?
And it was loud whenever they did something good. There were very few Giants fans there. If it's gonna be loud this time. Again, whenever the Patriots are on offense, it's because there are more Giants fans there. It has nothing to do with the Colts fans. Colts fans in town may be rooting against them, but they're not going to be there on Sunday.
I'm just talking about the silent snap count, I think, is a part of this game if they're going to go no huddle.
I think it is in any dome.
Sure.
Unless you played in an empty dome.
And that's why. Yeah,
unless you played in an empty, but I don't think it's every play. I think you just have to have it.
Right. All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. Olivier's in Virginia, and Eric's going to conduct this phone call in French with Olivier, so go for it.
What?
Hola.
Hola.
That's
Hola.
Not French.
¿Cómo estás? Oh, muy bien, y tú? Gracias.
Wow.
You have improved on your foreign language skills. I must congratulate you.
That's because Hernandez was talking about doing the merengue today. He said the merengue. I do.
Did he do with that rolling R?
Because Victor Cruz has the salsa. I have the merengue, and then I make rain.
Very nice. Very nice. Are you guys hanging out with the TV Azteca journalist?
Yes, I'm hanging in with him. If you know what I'm saying. Oh.
I can't talk now. I got TV Azteca on my. That's
funny.
You see those pictures? Woo wee.
Hey, are you guys sick at all? Do you get any disease, whatever they have, the Patriots team?
Vilo has a little bit of the sniffles.
Ebola?
And Eric has it as a disease, but he had it when he got here. It's different.
Oh, it's a different type of disease, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, Andy has a disease, too.
It's an ST disease.
Andy has a phobia.
I just said wouldn't you be happy to have an STD? It means you had S.
Very funny. Anyways, any news on if Gronk is getting better? I've heard different reviews that he was getting better. He was pretending to limp in front of the media. Or do you think that this is a situation that Belichick is using to his advantage, that he may not necessarily be as hurt as he is, but maybe he's getting better?
I don't think that it's because of the Super Bowl, but this is the way Belichick would have treated it if it was the first week of the season, think.
Right.
I think
that's, he loves doubt.
That's the, he's very, very consistent in how he treats injuries. Whether or not Gronkowski is getting better or not, look, all we can do is judge it by what we've seen. We saw him walk across the field on Tuesday with no brace, and he looked okay. He wasn't running around.
There was a
little bit there.
He did not practice yesterday, so we don't know anything from yesterday, and we don't know if he is going to practice today. We'll find that out.
Everybody is saying that he's going to.
Well, we hear about it, yeah.
ESPN is continuing to report that he will practice on a limited basis, and he keeps saying, Olivier, that he's getting better.
And just by observing human nature, if somebody's really hurt, chances are they're not going to go around joking around that they're hurt.
Except when Patrick Chung was hopping around the locker room and he still didn't come back for like 4 weeks later.
Well, but he might have suffered a setback afterwards.
Could be.
Do you guys think that this might actually be Ocho Cinco's big night? Because he's probably going to be looked upon as being a big threat if we have to use Gronk in a different way with a different strategy.
I'll be shocked if he has a big night.
I won't be shocked, but I won't count on it either.
I can't see it.
Stunned.
No, you can't see it?
I'd be stunned.
Fred's very negative. No
That's
hope.
Good. Hey, I have a last question for you, and I'll let you go, since it may be the last time that we speak. You guys have another show?
Saturday.
We are going to...
Sabado Gigante. Saturday at noon.
Saturday at noon is the last show. That's the pregame show. That's what it is?
Right.
Yes, si.
Correct.
Okay, partido pregamo.
Oh, very nice.
It's the pre-game social.
Yeah, it's an action-packed 2-hour pregame show on Saturday. Then you can get lubed up.
Okay, fantastic. Now, in terms of the getting the subscription to PFW in progress, can you buy one online and access it to two simultaneous iPads or only one?
There's several ways you can do it. Now, living in Virginia, you can either subscribe by calling 1-800-494-PATS. That would give you 30 issues of the newspaper plus free access to PFWOnline.com plus free access to the iPad app, Patriots Football Daily.
There's more.
You can simply subscribe to the iPad app for $19.99 a year and get all the content from Patriots Football Weekly sent directly to the app, as well as all the content from Patriots.com, live radio, all the video, all the stuff you get on. So you can choose either way. You get the paper for $49.95, 30 issues, which includes the iPad app, or you can go just the iPad app route for $19.99.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you have two iPads, can you still have the same content delivered to those two iPads?
As long as both iPads are synced to the same account, can.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Why would you have two iPads?
I'm sorry?
Why do you have two iPads?
I got one from James. No, just kidding. I have two iPads because my wife has one, and I'm going to get one whenever the new one comes up, like the iPad 3.
Right.
Awesome. When is and you guys keep on writing the newspaper every week or after the season is
Once
over?
Once the season's over, we go monthly.
We're monthly, but I will tell you, the February, the March, and April editions.
And
some of our best work.
Yeah.
Combine coverage, pre-draft coverage, post-draft coverage. Those are must-read issues of PFW.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool. And for next year, a suggestion. I mean, you guys have so many callers, callers that call on a weekly basis that, like, you know, you forge a relationship with and so forth. Don't you want to have, like, one day where you invite people that want to come up to Boston and have a all of your favorite callers coming in and exchange views?
Not really, because most of you frighten us, and, you know.
And how can we hang up on you if you're right there in the studio?
Well, I'm only kidding.
And if Tim comes, yeah. I ain't showing up.
It's possible. You never can rule it out.
You like a tweet up? Call up?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Olivier.
Did our price go up, Fred?
$46.95.
Okay,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
You said $49.
Oh, 40. You just saved $3 in
minutes. That's called the Andy Hart discount.
Right.
Use my name. Tell them you heard it here on PFW. $3 off.
You just saved $3. You guys know who Ross Tucker is?
Yeah.
Yes, he
played
for us.
For the Patriots. You don't remember him?
He just tweeted out, he said, never seen a favorite that was as much an underdog as these Patriots.
Oh.
How many times do we have to say it for you to be happy with it?
So.
My God.
Who?
He showed me that like a half hour ago and we talked about it. I added him to the list.
Ross Tucker?
He's fighting with the monkey who doesn't have glass to hide behind right now.
We'll add him to the list then.
Canadian Mike in Florida. Fred, you're right about this one. I'm not going to sit here and name everyone picking the Giants, but they are. On the NFL Playbook last night, the show was entitled Key to Winning. The entire show was spent on how the Giants are going to win the game. Even Sterling, who said he's picking the Patriots, was talking about how good the Giants' secondary is going to play. Not one positive thing was said about the Patriots. I have stopped watching at this point because what I thought was going to be a close game is apparently going to be a blowout, according to the so-called experts. So now all you guys at PFW have a responsibility to make the Patriots aware of the lopsided picks. Post it in the locker room if you can, because even though people say that doesn't motivate professionals, I think it does. Piss them off, guys. Any extra motivation will help. Any way you can shake it, this will be a three-point game. Have fun in Indy, guys. You know how many years Brady has left, so soak it in and enjoy the game.
Why, it's important to have him on the team for your chances of winning? That's an interesting theory based on the Great Debate.
Yeah, which you lost years ago.
Yeah, it's funny. If I lost it,
years
ago.
People
that for years.
Years ago.
There's Bill Belichick. No Patriots coverage. Oh, Giants.
let's see. Lee writes in. He's in Michigan.
Do you think there's any chance that the Giants blow the Patriots out?
Sure.
I don't. I think there's a chance the Patriots blow the Giants out. I think there's zero chance that the Giants blow the Patriots
out. I think it could go either way. I really do.
When was the last time the Giants blew somebody out?
I don't see a blowout.
Well, let's look at the road to the Super Bowl here in the latest PFW.
I think I wrote it. I don't really remember it.
I know.
The only time they got blowed out was by the Saints.
They blew out Dallas in the last game of the season.
Yeah, I don't know.
To get in the playoffs.
Well, they went up 21-0.
Yeah, that game.
And then what was the final score?
It wasn't close.
Didn't Dallas get to 21-14?
I don't know what the final score of the game was, but the game wasn't close.
Bill Belichick once told me, we were within a score. What do you want, Andy?
And you said,
much like that game wasn't close.
Okay, it's a 40-page paper, and Eric still hasn't found
it.
That's probably
the Patriots.
It's
way at the end.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
You're looking to when they blew somebody
31-14.
Out?
31-14. Giants went up 21-0. 24-2 is pretty much a blowout.
37-34.
Yeah, absolutely. What they did to the Falcons?
Yeah.
And 31-14 is a blowout.
Yeah.
But I don't really envision a blowout. I'm with Fred. I think it's a close game either
way. I think the Patriots could blow them out.
Lee in Michigan.
Anything could happen.
Lee in Michigan says, let's talk some football. McCoy from Philadelphia picked the Giants. He said he wants the Patriots to win because he hates the Giants, but the Giants have more talent, and it's very hot right now. That was on NFL Network
in
this
Philly?
Morning. Yeah, McCoy. On another topic, Jean-Pierre Paul says that they are in Brady's head. Do you guys believe this?
No.
I would like to hear Paul and Andy's thoughts.
I think pass rushers in general can get in Tom Brady's head. I think at times when he gets uncomfortable, he anticipates the rush. I've said this a number of times post-injury over the years. That one play I always point to is the one where he thought that Sammy Morris was going to miss the block and he fell on the ground and then realized Sammy Morris didn't miss the block and he got up. I don't know if it's injury related since the injury, but I do think at times when the rush is getting there early, he anticipates it to continue to get there.
Ask Thursday how much a consistent pass rush might negatively affect Brady's performance in Super Bowl 42-46. Pierre Paul said the Giants didn't even have to get to him in their previous game to affect him. quote, I think it won't have much impact on his performance because if you look at week 9 when we played them, it's like he felt us, he said. We went back on film, we watched the film, and we didn't really rush as we can as a defense. He was throwing balls on the ground and stuff. Asked in a follow-up if he was saying Brady reacted to phantom pressure in the Giants' 24-20 victory in New England, Pierre-Paul responded, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was reacting to pressure that didn't exist, and he was throwing the ball places that there wasn't even a receiver. So imagine us getting there even faster, and we're actually doing our jobs and getting there and getting hits on him.
Cocky.
So.
They've crossed the line, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get their comeuppance.
Yep. Big time.
Let's go to the phones. And Linda is in St. Augustine, Florida. Hey, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Linda. We've been there. We stayed there for a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They played down here at Jacksonville.
Yeah, and we stayed next to a big old tree. Some oldest tree in the country.
Yes, it's nice. I rode by on 95 that where the Patriots stayed. It's a nice place they stayed. Did you stay at the same place as them?
Early in the week, we were at that World Golf Village. Then we got moved to a not as nice place.
Shantytown.
Yeah,
you shan't
golf
be going there anymore.
Just, the ultimate in golf world down here.
Oh, yeah. That thing was awesome.
Well, for all you Boston fans, it's 77 down here in St. Augustine, Florida.
Well, it's pretty nice here, too.
It's as nice as could be expected here, so.
I can't complain.
I can't.
Oh, that's good. Hey, I was wondering if you could comment on the Pats protecting Tom Brady in his zone. You know, I'm a little worried that, you know, I've seen it happen a few times, and I really haven't heard it discussed about Tom getting sacked or you know, just protecting him in the pocket. What's your opinion on that?
We all believe that they will protect him. That
you,
you
think
know,
so?
if a lot of things can happen in this game. But one thing that the Patriots won't let happen is Brady getting beat up.
Yeah, I sort of believe that, but I'm sort of worried too quick about right tackle and center. And the ball can't come out quick enough if your center is getting blowed up.
Well, center is a concern to me, no doubt. But I feel like it's going to be similar to Baltimore, and I do think this team rushes the passer better than Baltimore does, despite the fact that they have the same amount of sacks. I think they're going to game plan to get rid of the ball very quickly, with a lot of quick timing stuff out of spread formations that are going to somewhat neutralize that. I think the stat that I remember reading from Baltimore is that Brady averaged 2.4 seconds from snap to throw against Baltimore. And I don't care how well you rush the passer, you're not getting there consistently in that amount of time.
Okay.
Unless you kill the center.
Is that it, Linda? She's gone. Oh,
thanks,
she's
Linda. Gone. Enjoy right. The temperatures in St. Augustine and that big tree you got.
Thanks for the call, Linda. Gabe writes in, this week is going to be the longest week of my life. Let me tell you why.
You.
I was at the Super Bowl in 07 when we lost. It has haunted me for 4 years, and to think we have another shot is beyond what I could have wished for. But the key to this game is Gronk. I really do hope he's healthy enough to play, but if he's not, who do you think needs to step up and have a great game? And P.S., who cares if all these national media guys are picking the Giants? I'm pretty sure most of these guys said Jamarcus Russell was a stud, so there's that. All that matters is Patriots Nation, baby.
Oh, but it matters because if people start telling the players, oh, look, all these people are picking against you, that could be, you know,
have
used
no
as motivation.
Game. I'm with that emailer.
Says dismissive Paul.
Well, I mean, if you think
I like what he
gonna,
gets in dismissive
if
mode.
If you think they're going to get added motivation,
nobody can dismiss
people,
him. But.
So, Paul, and you were an athlete.
Whatever.
You were an accomplished athlete.
Fred,
you ever get like really pumped up for a game?
Yeah, of course I did.
Did anything ever motivate you?
Of course.
What?
Winning.
No, but
that's it.
Wanting to win, but beyond that, what did you derive your motivation from?
First of all, to make this correlation is silly. I'm not a professional athlete. And I'm about as far away from one as one person could be.
So when you were amped up, did it go from like 66 to 68 on the gun?
I told you. The adrenaline kick in, and I got it up into the mid-80s.
When the scout was behind the plate.
Right.
And then he goes, is this thing broken?
That said 80. What did I tell you the guy said?
You sucked.
Don't sell yourself short. You were throwing every bit as hard as the guy we came here looking for. To which I said, then why aren't you looking at me? Anyway.
Okay.
No. I wanted to win every game I ever played, and... Yeah. Probably to a detriment because
well, he didn't win a lot of them.
I was a little bit overly competitive.
Yeah, but you,
You don't think there's any sort of...
I don't. I think professional athletes playing in the Super Bowl want to win more than anything in life. And no matter what anybody says, I don't think it's going to affect
Eric,
them. They'll say it after the game. Now, here's where
human
I think...
Human beings.
Here's where I say that it could factor in. And this is one of the reasons why I'm sort of climbing back to the other side, is I think the Giants are overconfident. And I think that they are lacking focus. I think that they are thinking this is a foregone conclusion. Now, if that's the case, and you think you can just walk onto the field and win, you're not as prepared as you should be. They'll be playing every bit as hard as the Patriots on Sunday, but they're not ready like the Patriots are. That, to me, is where the human element can come into play and have an impact on the game. I'm not dismissing the human element. I'm not taking that as out of hand. But I think that wanting to win because you're hearing people pick one team or the other, I don't know. I just don't think that that plays.
Then why do people ask them afterwards? Isn't it sweeter?
It's an easy story. It's the easiest cliche in the book.
But I don't even care about that. I think when you see David Givens put the ball down and flex on it, it's because he was told all week that those DBs are more physical than you receivers are.
Yeah, but do you think that made him go out and catch a touchdown pass?
I think it gave him a certain attitude heading into the
game.
But you don't think that's in their mind?
It affects.
I mean, they rolled over teams.
Yeah. I think I'm with you, Eric. I think there is additional motivation.
I don't think you're giving enough credit to the human mind, Paul.
I think you're giving too much credit. I don't think you're giving enough credit to talent.
People
like Rodney Harrison in that same game intercepts the pass at the end. He starts flapping his wings because
they were making fun of the Eagles.
Because that's what they heard all week, and they wanted to give it back to them a little bit.
But you know it's garbage. Bill even admitted he made it up.
That doesn't mean that the players didn't know at the time.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I don't understand. They win every game, and then we go to the last game and we say, well, that other team's – and now they won because the other team said this. Well, what about all the other games?
They didn't win because of it, but it's a factor. Whether it's 1%, a half a percent, 2%.
Let me put it in terms, Paul, that you can relate to, okay?
Stop for a second. What? Because there's a misperception here that I don't understand what you're talking about. You three think one thing, and I think another. That's not the first time that's happened on this show, and it won't be the last.
All right.
I understand exactly what you guys are saying. But I just don't think it's that important.
Let's say you're in the middle of pounding a guy in one of your fights, and you're pounding a guy because he was just kept standing up in front of you at a sporting event. But then you have another fight where you're pounding the guy because he did something to one of your kids. Who gets pounded more, the guy in scenario one or scenario two?
I don't know.
Of course, the guy in scenario two, because you're more motivated. You're more angry.
Tell me what I'm supposed to
answer. All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out.
That's right. And that was just for standing up in front of you. Can you imagine if that guy did something to one of your kids?
Okay.
You know, so.
Now, if someone did something to one of my kids, but then he said that I don't have the balls to beat him up, am I going to fight him even harder?
Maybe.
No. He did something to one of my kids. I can't be more motivated than that.
You know what
I'm
saying.
That's the apex of motivation.
You know
what I say. Someone did something to my family. Being in the Super Bowl to me is the apex of motivation. Can't get any higher.
Different things.
You disagree. That's okay.
Different things motivate people different ways. And,
exactly.
And one of the
it's okay for you to think one thing and me to think another.
And one of the things of a great coach is to find what those different ways are for his team. And some guys are different. Some guys don't. But some guys do. Some guys take to that type of extra motivation and incentive.
Okay. Now, do you think that Tom Coughlin is telling the Giants that they don't think they can that they can lose? Do you think he's going to go in and do the same kinds of things?
If he might.
One of the teams is going to lose.
He might.
Right? One of the teams is going to lose on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So it's relevant for the team that wins.
If it helps your team a little bit, I mean – Patriots didn't invent bulletin board material.
Exactly.
That was
every team does it. And one team loses every game.
Right, but when you have
that's why I don't think it's that important.
When you have a guy like Rodney Harrison on the team who knows how to use that stuff, it works better.
All right. So we do it better than
yes.
other teams. No, we are better. That's why we win. We have more talent. That's why we beat the Eagles in 2004 because we were better than them. Matter of fact, I can't believe it was as close as it was.
Sometimes this kind of stuff brings out something, and it's like my scenario with you pounding the guy. You would pound that guy in the second scenario more.
Right, but if the guy told me I wasn't capable of doing it and he talked trash to me, I wouldn't be any more motivated.
That's different. Let's see. who's on? Bill, no. Kevin, the bad Kevin writes in. Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and D-Bag. Hey, guys, I had a sick kid yesterday, and I had to stay home from work and watch ESPN and the NFL Network all day. The people that are emailing in are exactly right. Every time I flip from one to another, these two networks are covering more Giants than Patriots. The only coverage that the Patriots are getting is all about Gronk, which is ridiculous. I mean, for Christ's sake, Peyton is getting more coverage than the Patriots. As for the overall media coverage, there was a time that Rich Eisen yesterday was struggling for something to talk about and said to Willie and whoever else was with him, I know we've already talked about this, but we have a lot of hours to fill. How did the Giants get to Brady? So even Eisen knows that this week is effing ridiculous. I get more and more confident about this game as the week goes on. We can analyze this all we want, and it boils down to how the backside of the defense and the front line of the offense plays on Sunday. That's it. I am hopeful that we can do our jobs and come home with a fourth ring. I am having a huge Super Bowl party, and I'll be the only Patriots fan there. Several Bears, Raiders, and Packers fans. I understand the NFC fans rooting for the Giants, and the Raiders fan is still pissed about the tuck rule. However, all goes well so that I can shove it up their backsides at that about 10 o'clock on Sunday. And how about some team-related stuff? Give a percentage of what you think Gronk will be at.
83. No. 70. 73.
75.
I'll say 80. How many times do you think Brady will be target Chad, and will that be more than Slater?
Yes, four.
Five.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd say that's a lot.
Two.
I'm with Paul. Two.
And more than Slater.
I'll say once.
And more than Slater.
He targets him once, it's an event, and we never do it again.
Two, and he makes both catches.
I say he catches a touchdown and unveils a crazy touchdown dance.
How many times can we get to Manning for a sack, not just a hurry?
Two.
Okay. Who?
Who's going to get them?
Yeah.
Mark Anderson will get one.
Nikovich will get one.
Kyle Love.
And
Will Fork's going to get one.
Will Fork. There you go. Yep.
Does it mean anything? This is from Steven. Does it mean anything today was the first practice in 5 days for the Giants? Cocky? That's not true. They've had practice.
Yesterday was
they
the first
practice.
Yesterday,
yesterday
right?
was.
Yeah.
So. And that was just sent, so it wasn't like it was an email from yesterday. Let's see. Sports Nation has the two hands for the guest. We already talked about that.
Yeah.
Paul has checked out. He's very upset.
You're reading emails. What do you want me to do?
Stripper says the players, this is a fun fact about the Super Bowl menu, the players will eat twice on Super Bowl Sunday, starting with a light breakfast with an extra protein and a lot of eggs. They'll also eat an early lunch before they take the field at 6:30. After the game, sushi and everything else is on that menu. That'll be amazing, said somebody.
It's just a fun fact.
He said, adding chefs will also dish up Thai curry, a tapas station, and tapas, and carved prime rib, among other delicacies.
Okay. So how does he – he puts a link to a story there.
It says Brookline man feeds Patriots before and after Super Bowls.
Oh, okay.
Tapas are little plates.
Okay.
It means like little appetizers. There's a lot of tapas bars now.
Andy's showing the culture.
I never heard
that
word.
Well, it's very popular.
Never heard that word in my life.
The last 2 to 3 years, it's been an explosion of tapas
restaurants. This is why I love this show.
And the first time somebody said that to me, it was a girl, and I thought she said, I went to a topless bar. That's what I thought she said. I'm like, really?
You got excited?
Now, next week, I'll find out what it really
is. It's not your kind of thing.
No, it's not.
Because you order these little plates, and they'll bring
portions.
It's $6, and you'll get, like, two meatballs. And you're like, okay, now
that's
I go order it. And, then, like, it's weird. Weird little thing.
It sounds a little foofy fancy for me.
It's not bad for a large group if you order just, like, 45 plates of stuff, but... It's a
Spanish thing.
Yeah.
If it was good, I would love it. Though.
Well, it's good, but you
no one
you
enjoys
think,
eating more than I do.
Oh, I'm only going to spend this, but you can end up spending like really $600 on because you, by the time you get enough plates to fill yourself up, you're
poke. Good place to go if you're just like in the middle of the day and you're.
It's like a wine and tapas and.
How was it? Is it T-A-P-A-S?
T-A-P-A-S.
Tapas.
Tapas, not pasta.
Okay. Good. Good
well
tip.
Done there.
Also right. known as well pasta.
Good tip, guys.
And with that football talk, we're
no,
gonna,
that's it.
That's it for this.
No, let's go another hour.
We can't.
Please.
John Rook is
no.
standing by with the playbook, and he has to go. We have work to do, but we will be back on Saturday at noontime Eastern to do our final show before the big game. We'll do our picks.
Yeah.
And what else are we going to do on that day?
Break down the game.
Right.
Even harder.
Okay. So we'll be back Saturday at noon. Stay tuned for John Rook and the Playbook. And, of course, Pete Shepherd at 4 o'clock. See you Saturday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.